Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, it's that time of the day again. We have to update our calendar because it is now day 20 of Kamala Harris taking zero adversarial questions since becoming the Democratic nominee. She's running away from reporters. She is turning down Donald Trump's request for additional debates. But don't worry, she is so brilliant. She is so with it. She's so intelligent. She's so convincing. She's not just a cardboard cutout that they stack up in front of a teleprompter to say things out of her face hole, and then the media cheer like a bunch of wild schoolgirls. We'll get to all of this in just a second. First, Daily Wire Plus members, you have unlimited on-demand access to our uncensored ad-free daily shows, real-time breaking news, investigative journalism. So if you're not a member, now would be the time, since there is stuff happening literally every moment of every day. I'm exhausted. I don't know about you, but I'm covering it here for you. We need your help. Don't be left in the dark. Join the fight right now at dailywire.com/subscribe. Okay, so yesterday, large-scale contrast between Donald Trump, the Republican candidate for the presidency, and Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris continues to run a basement campaign. It's a basement campaign that is punctuated by her going to large rallies and saying things off a teleprompter, and Tim Walz giving a strange, enthusiastic dance routine that is really off-putting to those of us who still have a shred of sanity left. You just feel like you're being gaslit all the time by the Harris-Walz campaign. Because she went from being one of the most unpopular figures in Democratic politics to a magical figure of joy, light, and excitement. And then they trot out this 60-year-old doofus to dance around on the stage while talking about how he is a moderate who only loves abortion and loves trans and kids. I mean, it's all crazy. And then they say that Trump is afraid to debate. Okay, so yesterday, Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago gave an hour-long press conference, a thing that Kamala Harris has not done. The most noteworthy thing that he said is that he doesn't just want one debate with Kamala Harris. He wants three debates with Kamala Harris. Here he was announcing that yesterday.
I think it's very important to have debates. And we've agreed with Fox on a date of September 4th. We've agreed with NBC, fairly full agreement subject to them, on September 10th. And we've agreed with ABC on September 25th.
Okay, so that is good news. That is good news. It's what we've been encouraging him on the show to do. He needs to debate Kamala because the media ain't going to do their job. They're absolutely not going to do their job. They're going to run screaming away from their job, as it turns out. So then Kamala Harris, she came forth and she explained she would not be doing three debates on three separate networks. No, she would only agree to the debate that Joe Biden negotiated with Donald Trump back when Joe Biden was the candidate. That was before she shivved him in the back and took his nomination, which is precisely what happened. By the way, it is kind of weird that Joe Biden is still president of the United States and is wandering into walls, speaking nonsensically. You know his entire schedule? Actually, the current president of the United States, the most powerful person on earth, who you've completely forgotten about. We all did. Old Joe. His schedule next week involves him being in Delaware and taking two scheduled phone calls. That is his schedule next week, apparently. Just slow clap for the media, who are doing an incredible job. They went from, this man cannot be the nominee because he's senile, too. He can still be the president because he's senile, and his vice presidential candidate, who is avoiding us like the plague, is actually sweetness and light. Here she was yesterday saying she's looking forward to their September 10th debate. So the little game she's playing is she says she will not accept any further debates until they do the September 10th debate. And Trump should say, well, no, I'm not going to do the September 10th debate unless you're willing to do all three. Because the reality is the American people don't know you. You're hiding from the media. You're hiding from questions. You're actually a dummy when you get off the teleprompter, which is That's been true for Kamala Harris her entire lifetime. Instead, what she's trying to do is delay it beyond September 10th, because she feels like she'll do well enough on September 10th to put questions to bed about her candidacy. And then she doesn't want to be out there having to answer more questions. In fact, her entire plan is never to answer any questions. Here she was yesterday.
Be participating in all three.
I've always been on record. I am looking forward to debating Donald Trump. And we have a date of September 10th. I hear he is finally committed to it. I'm looking forward.
What about the other two?
What about the other two? Nope, she's gone. Bye. Catch you later. No questions. No questions. By the way, she did deign to tell the press yesterday that she would be scheduling an interview, maybe an interview, before the end of the month. Here's what she had to say yesterday on the tarmac. And the media played this as though she took questions from the media. Those were not questions. That was a hot stone massage. There's a difference.
President, there's been a lot of questions about when you're going to sit down for your first interview since being the nominee.
I've talked to my team. I want us to get an interview scheduled before the end of the month.
Thank you. Well, that's a serious answer. Before the end of the month. Now, let me take a look at the calendar here. It appears to me, unless all my information and the entire calendrical system is somehow false, that today would be Friday, August 9th. I noticed that the month of August actually has many days in it, like a lot of days. In fact, it has 31 days in it, unless I am sadly mistaken. And yet she wants to do one interview before the end of the month? Are you kidding me? I have a question for all you journalismers, all you professional journalismers. If you can put down the lotion long enough to actually do your jobs, maybe you might want to, you know, put a little pressure on the Harris-Walz campaign to answer a question, some questions, any questions. Maybe you might want to ask the very obvious questions of the campaign. Why won't you do a presser? Why won't you do an interview? Why are you running away from any question ever? Why are you only committing to one debate? A debate, by the way, that you didn't negotiate with Trump. Your boss negotiated with Trump before you took him out back and shot him like Old Yeller. Where is the media? We know the answer. The media are in her colon. That's where the media are. This is not just Donald Trump and J.D. Vance against Harris and Walz. It's them against the entire legacy media, because the entire legacy media clicked back into place the minute that Joe Biden went down. They clicked back into place, and suddenly, like a switch, they were enthusiastic about Kamala. So much excitement, so much joy, triple exclamation point. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrade? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
Kamala Harris's entire routine here is to play Joe Biden's basement campaign from 2020 with some peppy rallies and some pop music from upcoming stars that I've never heard of, presumably. She was asked yesterday about whether she had any response to Donald Trump's criticisms of her. You know, very hard question. Very hard question here. Do you have any response to people criticizing you? And she's like, nope, can't even hear the criticism. I'm above all of that.
Can you comment on some of his other criticisms? He made a whole litany of them today.
I was too busy talking to voters. I didn't hear
them. She's been talking to voters. She didn't hear them. I mean, that's a lie, number one. She knows all the criticisms because they've been widely reported. Also, the last time somebody on the Harris-Walz ticket claimed deafness to avoid culpability for something, it was her vice president claiming deafness to avoid a DUI. So this is a solid ticket right here. And more, I don't blame Harris and Walz for doing this routine. It's great work if you can get it. If you can get away with all of this, good for you. But where are the journalists? Where are they? Why don't they do their job? That is the big question. So yesterday, Donald Trump proved that he was perfectly willing to go out in front of a wildly adversarial press. He tried to reset the table, I think successfully, because the focus in this campaign cannot be on all of these sort of random festivist grievances that Donald Trump has against Brian Kemp in Georgia. And it can't be about questions about her blackness or anything like that. It's got to be about her record. This is the most left-wing ticket in the history of American politics. Donald Trump's task yesterday was twofold. One, to demonstrate that he was willing to actually take questions in a way that she is not, which is clearly true. He went to the National Association of Black Journalists last week, and he did like a 35-minute interview with people who hate his guts. She has yet to answer a single adversarial question. And again, we are in day 20 of this ridiculous, pathetic routine. It really is sickening because the American people are owed some answers to questions before we select the next president of the United States. Are we not? What exactly do journalists think they do around here? Trump had two tasks. One is prove that he could take questions, which he can. And two, try to redirect toward the Harris-Walz record, which is insanely radical. Somehow Kamala Harris, by the way, has been able to avoid culpability for the administration in which she is the vice president of the United States, which is insane to me. That's totally crazy. In 2008, John McCain was made responsible for George W. Bush's administration, despite the fact he wasn't in that administration. Mitt Romney was turned into an heir to George W. Bush, despite the fact he had no relationship with George W. Bush. But Kamala Harris, who literally says she is the last person in the room for every Biden decision, has been able to avoid culpability for the entire Biden administration record, which is a heaping pile of flaming trash. So, Trump has a twofold task yesterday. I think he hit both of them. One is, he's willing to stand up to press. She isn't. Two is, let's focus on her record. Here he was yesterday warning about economic and security meltdowns under the next Kamala Harris administration.
I think that our country is right now in the most dangerous position it's ever been in from an economic standpoint, from a safety standpoint. Both gangs on the street and, frankly, gangs outside of our country in the form of other countries that are, frankly, very powerful. They're very powerful countries, and we don't know what we're doing. We have leadership that has no clue how to handle them or how to handle any other situation. You could end up in a depression of the 1929 variety, which would be a devastating thing, took many years, took decades to recover from it. And we're very close to that. We're very close to a world war. In my opinion, we're very close to a world war. We have people that don't know how to handle it. They're not respected. All over the world, they're laughed at. And we can't have that.
He's right about all of that, of course. And then Trump said about himself that he is a common sense person who wants low taxes, strong borders, and a strong military. This should be the campaign. This should be the campaign. Message discipline. That is all.
We're a party of common sense, and I'm a person of common sense. I want to have low taxes. I want to have strong borders. I want to have a strong military.
Okay. Again, that is a very common sense message. And she is a person who wants the opposite of that. High taxes, weak borders, and a weak military. That is a very good campaign. And it happens to be true. Trump said that Kamala was the worst border czar in American history, which, of course, is also true.
As a border czar, she's been the worst border czar in history, in the world history. I think the number is 20 million, but whether it's 15 or 20, it's numbers that nobody's ever heard before. 20 million people came over the border in the last, during the Biden-Harris administration. 20 million people.
Okay, so again, this over and over and over. Now, Trump did note in the press conference yesterday that all of this kind of honeymooning over Kamala Harris, who is a terrible candidate. She's terrible. There's a tweet yesterday, somebody suggesting, you know, well, she's like the person who hit well in the minors, who was never given a shot, and then she gets to the majors and she's hitting 330. And you're like, why didn't we start with this person? No, she's actually like the person who's in the minor leagues and had a bunch of potential, then came up to the majors and hit 180. That'd be her 2020 presidential race. And then was sent back down and then was brought back up to be vice president. And she hit 180 again. And then she was sent back down and then she was brought back up as the nominee. And then in the first couple of weeks, she went 6-for-8, and now she's going to regress to the mean, and she's going to bat 180. And that's essentially the case that Donald Trump is making right here.
The honeymoon period's going to end. Look, she's got a little period. She's got a convention coming up. It's about policy. It's not about her. I think she's incompetent because I've watched her. She destroyed California. She destroyed San Francisco. Everything she's touched has turned to bad things.
He is right. We'll get some more on this in just 1 second. First,
hey everyone, this is Michael Knowles, host of The Michael Knowles Show. If you want just the most condensed, accurate, right of Attila the Hun commentary that there is out there, you've got to tune into the show. Because we don't leave it at just those shallow little platitudes up at the top or the talking points. We don't even just get into the culture or whatever. We go even deeper down to the most fundamental roots of what we believe and what we do. Watch The Michael Knowles Show on Daily Wire Plus or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, coming up, Donald Trump points out that Kamala Harris cannot be off teleprompter. He's absolutely correct. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Blue's skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Wildfire season is upon us. Being prepared saves lives. Develop and practice an evacuation plan with your household. Stay informed about local fire conditions and follow evacuation orders if issued. Know your evacuation zone. Go to ShastCom911.com. Click on Be Prepared, Know Your Zone. Type in your address and write it down in case of emergency. You can also sign up for Alert Shasta at ShastCom911.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Hi everybody, RC with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, El Pulpo by AJ Fernandez. Receiving a 94 rating, El Pulpo is outstanding, balanced, layered, bold, or just a few words used to describe the powerful character of such a cigar from the factory of AJ Fernandez. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
25.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Kamala Harris has gone into hiding from the media, and Donald Trump is pointing it out. And he points out, and this, again, should be something that the Republicans point out over and over and over. She cannot be off teleprompter. She is whatever the teleprompter says she is at any given moment. Here is Trump saying, Kamala can't do an interview. Where is she? She's where's Waldo?
She hasn't done an interview. She can't do an interview. She's barely competent, and she can't do an interview. But I look forward to the debates because I think we have to set the record straight.
Well, I mean, by the way, she is the one who is saying she only wants one debate, and it's the debate that was preset with Joe Biden. She is a coward. Do you understand? She's politically a coward. She's backed off every position she ever held, but not herself. She has her surrogates doing it. She won't do an interview to answer for any of those changes in time. She won't explain why she was for Joe Biden's mental competence until she was against it and just shoved that old dude off the back of the train. She can't answer any questions, and she won't answer any questions. And now Democrats are out there saying that she doesn't have to answer any questions. Here is Senator Alex Padilla from California suggesting that Harris doesn't need to take any questions because she's just too glorious. Our queen, Slay Queen, must take no questions whatsoever, ever.
You've got to cut her a little bit of slack for the last 3.5 weeks, an unprecedented way to become the nominee for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, we noticed that.
The delegates.
It caused some questions, maybe.
To become the presumptive nominee, she has quickly vetted and selected a tremendous running mate in Governor Walz. We're preparing for the Democratic convention in Chicago, and she's stumping. She's doing the day job and stumping in all the critical battleground states, so we'll get to the media interviews soon enough.
No, you won't. And by the way, I love that he trots out a bunch of things that you should have questions about. And then he's like, but she must be asking no questions. She's been busy. Yes, you mean defenestrating her boss? Yeah, she's been busy selecting a vice president on the basis of him not being a Jew. Like, there are some questions about all these things, and she's avoiding those questions. And it's maddening. It truly is. If you feel like I do, which is that this entire electoral cycle has been a complete and utter chaotic bleep show. And you got some questions. And then you are told, no, she doesn't have to answer questions. She's too kind, godlike, and joyous to have to answer questions. She's busy. Is it irritating? I feel like it's irritating not just to me. I think there are a lot of Americans to whom this is irritating, who are owed answers by the current sitting vice president of the United States, who's presided over the worst inflation in 40 years, a meltdown in the Middle East, a slow-rolling disaster in Ukraine, an aggressive China, a fraying of the social fabric, a polarization along racial and sex lines. I feel like some questions should be answered before we make that lady the president of the United States after winning zero, count them, zero primary votes ever. Not just this time, last time too. I feel like I'm going nuts here because how do you take a person who you all deemed to be completely unworthy of her job and then flip in 1 second and say that she is not just worthy, she is the most worthy and all must bow before her. And then when we have questions, you're like, no, there will be no questions. She requires no. Nancy Pelosi doing the same routine. So Nancy Pelosi, who effectively beheaded the president of the United States politically, and she did an interview yesterday in which she basically spat on Joe Biden's grave. It's pretty amazing. But here was Nancy Pelosi saying, Kamala doesn't need to talk to the press. Of course she doesn't need to talk to the press. And meanwhile, Jake Tapper on CNN is kind of like, well, I mean, doesn't she? And Nancy's like, no, we know what you'll do. You will all just sit down and shut up. And she's right. She's right. Because the media are just an adjunct to the Democratic Party.
Do you think that the vice president needs to be more out there talking to reporters, talking about issues in a give and take, not just in speeches?
I think she should say what I just said in that sentence. She has, should be herself. She should be ready. She should know her power in all of this. And I don't give anybody advice except to be themselves and be ready and know the power of their individuality and their authenticity.
Oh, my God. The power of her authenticity and individuality. You know, we might know if she's authentic. If someone would ask her a damned question. That might be a good way to find out whether someone's authentic or not, is if they would actually go and be in an adversarial situation and answer for themselves, as opposed to deploying their friends in the legacy media and their paid surrogates to lie about all of their positions. Nancy Pelosi, she has to feel her power. Dentures are clacking. By the way, you want to talk about somebody who feels her power? Again, Nancy Pelosi legitimately defenestrated the sitting president of the United States. Nancy Pelosi literally did an interview in which she ripped Biden's debate performance and said he was not sentient to be president of the United States, so she ousted him. This is that same interview.
What was your reaction when you saw him walk out there and then his answers or his inability to give coherent answers?
Well, I thought we were going to see Joe Biden from the State of the Union. I never wanted to debate because it's always... He's a joke. You know, it's not a funny joke, but it's a joke. And he said, no, I'm looking forward to it. And so he was confident about that. Mm-hmm. So when I saw him, I thought, in my view, overprepped, not a good idea.
Overprepped. She's a liar. In that same day, she did an interview with David Remnick over at the New Yorker, quote, and this is about Joe Biden. Remember, this is the lady who says she won't give any advice to Kamala Harris. She is responsible for Kamala Harris's nomination, almost solely. Quote, I've never been that impressed with Joe Biden's political operation. They won the White House, bravo. But my concern was, this ain't happening. And we have to make a decision for this to happen. The president has to make the decision for that to happen. She said, I really wanted him to make a decision for a better campaign because they were not facing the fact of what was happening. We couldn't see it go down the drain because Trump was going to be president. And then he was going to take the House. Imagine how that would be. Well, we don't have to imagine. We saw. So she basically ousted the guy, but now she has no advice for Nancy, for Kamala Harris. No advice at all. She just needs to be her authentic self. The most authentic. I just advise people to be the most authentic they can be. The least authentic human being in America is Kamala Harris. That lady is manufactured. That lady has more preservatives in her than a box of McDonald's French fries. It's insane. But we all know what's going on here. They are hiding her. They are hiding her from the media because she's not capable. She's not a capable candidate. And the media are perfectly happy being treated this way. That's the part that's amazing. All right, coming up, Kamala Harris hiding in that basement. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Reading, take an inflation vacation with Black Bear Diner's 7 new weekday dinner deals, starting at just $9.99. Tasty fish tacos, creamy fettuccine carbonara, steak and fries, a crispy chicken dinner, beef stroganoff, and more. Serve Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. Escape inflation's grip on your wallet and set the table tonight with good old-fashioned family food at your friendly Black Bear Diner in Reading on Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner. This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
.org.
schools.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's getting crowded in the Democratic basement for high-profile figures hiding from the media. Eugene Daniels of Politico Playbook. He said VP Kamala Harris took a few questions on the tarmac just now. What were those questions? When she would do a sit-down interview? Would she do a debate with Trump? Is she open to more debates? If she felt bad because Republicans kept attacking Tim Walz? And on why Trump originally backed out of the debate? Again, those are not questions. Those are softballs. Clearly. Wild stuff here. So Donald Trump, again, he was on the offensive yesterday over at Mar-a-Lago. He ripped into the press. They were asking about his limited campaign schedule, and he's like, have you noticed that Kamala Harris is taking zero of your questions?
What a stupid question this is. Because I'm leading by a lot and because I'm letting their convention go through, and I am campaigning a lot. I'm doing tremendous amounts of taping here. We have commercials that are at a level I don't think that anybody's ever done before. Plus, in certain cases, I see many of you in the room where I'm speaking to you on phones, I'm speaking to radio, I'm speaking to television. Television's coming over here. Excuse me, what are we doing right now? She's not doing any news conference. You know why she's not doing it? Because she can't do a news conference. She doesn't know how to do a news conference. She's not smart enough to do a news conference. And I'm sorry, we need smart people to lead this country.
Okay, he's right about all of that. So, did the press choose to focus on the fact that he happens to be correct and that Kamala Harris is not doing her job and they're not doing their... Of course they're not going to focus on that. They're complicit. They're part of the conspiracy of silence surrounding Kamala Harris. Instead, they decided to focus on the sort of random part of the Trump presser. So the thing about an hour-long Donald Trump presser is because it is disorganized, shall we say. That means the media can always choose four or five headlines that they like out of the grab basket of things that Trump talks about. So, for example, Donald Trump slammed Tim Walz's abortion record, and he pointed out that in Minnesota, they actually changed the law to avoid punishment for doctors who didn't take care of babies who were accidentally born alive during an abortion. Here was Trump.
The Democrats are really the radical ones on this because they're allowed to do abortion on the eighth and ninth month and even after birth. If you look at your new governor from Minnesota, he's talking about, he's like the governor previous, the former governor. I don't want to get him mixed up because Glenn is doing a good job and he's leading our whole campaign in Virginia, Glenn Youngkin. But previous to Glenn, the governor, he said, the baby will be born, we will put the baby aside, and we will decide with the mother what we're going to do. In other words, whether or not we're going to kill the baby.
Okay, so the media say he's mixing up Ralph Northam, who is the governor prior to Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, and Tim Walz, the current vice presidential candidate in Minnesota. There's only one problem. Trump happens to be right on the policy. According to Roger Severino, post-birth abortion is real. Harris Walz supported. At least five babies were born alive after botched abortions and left to die under Tim Walz's care. Two of these struggling babies were given comfort care instead of medical care, allegedly in violation of state law. How did Walz respond? By repealing the very law exposing and outlawing this horror and replacing it with abortion on demand on the front end and infanticide on the back end. So it wasn't even wrong on the policy. Hey, then the media got very angry at Trump saying true things that he's not allowed to say because that's the way this works. If a Democrat were to say similar things, it would be totally fine. If Trump says it, it's very bad. So, for example, Trump explained why Kamala Harris is rising in the polls. Now, if Kamala said the exact same thing, it would be slay, queen, play Beyonce's Freedom, and walk out that door, snapping your fingers in a Z formation. Let's just do that. But if Trump says it, he's a racist or something. Here we go.
What do you attribute her rising in the polls to becoming a more competitive race than she's taken?
Well, she's a woman. She represents certain groups of people.
Well, yes. And they're all like, oh, my God, he pointed out she's a woman. That's her entire campaign. Her entire campaign is she's a woman. Joe Biden explicitly picked her for VP because she's a woman. Now she's doing the whole own your power, girl. First woman president. Oh, man. And when he says she appeals to particular groups of people, she is the one who literally has campaign Zoom calls based on race, sex, and sexual orientation. Okay, meanwhile, Trump said the thing that's unsayable. It's so unsayable. He said Jewish Americans voting for Kamala should have their heads examined. Okay, he is right about this. He is totally 100% right. Kamala Harris flirted with people who want to full-scale disarm the state of Israel in the face of its terrorist enemies yesterday. Kamala Harris's first open statement as the presidential nominee was ripping into Israel's human rights record based on the lies of Hamas. Ilhan Omar is openly campaigning for Tim Walz. They literally said last week that they might pick Josh Shapiro, the clear and obvious frontrunner for the VP, and then they threw him out the window because he happened to be a Jew. When Trump says that Jewish Americans are fools if they vote for this ticket, he is correct. The reality is that if you care at all about Judaism, you should have some very serious questions about the Democratic Party at this point in time. Here's Trump.
And I say it, if anybody I know is Jewish and they would vote for Kamala over me, they should have their head examined.
He is correct. He is correct. By the way, the latest indicator of this, according to the Jewish Insider, for several weeks, the city of Chicago has been sitting on a request from a pro-Israel group to hold a solidarity march during the Democratic National Convention, even while it granted permission for a coalition of pro-Palestinian activists to demonstrate when the proceedings kick off later this month. The Israeli American Council, a nonprofit organization representing Israeli Americans seeking to strengthen ties between the U.S. and Israel, filed two applications with the Chicago DOT at the beginning of July. They have not heard from the city. Meanwhile, every single pro-terrorist group in Chicago is being given a permit to protest. Meanwhile, Palestinian activist Laila Elabad, who's one of the people who met Kamala Harris the other day, she is apparently Rashida Tlaib's sister or something, she says that Kamala will lose Michigan if she doesn't cave to us, and Kamala knows it, which is why she's pandering to these people.
So it seems to me if you lose enough voters here, Harris, she probably will lose Michigan.
Yeah, 100%. We are being asked to choose between a candidate that supports a far right-wing government to carry out war crimes against Palestinians. I think right now we need more than ever from VP Harris a guarantee that she will adopt the demands of our movement and adopt the demands of this coalition.
Again, these are the people that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are flirting with. Not just that. According to the Washington Examiner breaking this morning, Tim Walz, on at least five occasions as governor of Minnesota, hosted a Muslim cleric who celebrated Hamas' October 7th attack last year on Israel and promoted a film popular among neo-Nazis that glorifies Adolf Hitler. The imam, whose name is Asad Zaman of the Muslim American Society of Minnesota, joined other Muslim leaders in May 2023 about mosque security in a meeting with Walz's gubernatorial office in Minnesota. He also spoke at a May 2020 event to call for peaceful protests with the governor. In April 2019, that cleric delivered an invocation before Walz's state address. Meanwhile, Zaman said on October 7th that, quote, he stands in solidarity with Palestinians against Israeli attacks. Okay, so those are the types of people that the Harris campaign is bringing into the fold. So when Trump says that, the scandal is not Trump saying it. The scandal is Harris, Walz, and what they're doing. Okay, so there's three categories of things happening at this Trump presser. The good stuff where Trump is pointing out the deep and abiding flaws in the Harris-Walz platform campaign, the fact they're running away from the press. There's the medium stuff where Trump is saying true things that the media are deliberately misconstruing or lying about. And then there's sort of the distractible Trump. And distractible Trump needs to be minimized because, as we have said, there's no room for error in this election cycle. Trump needs this administration. Harris-Walz will make Joe Biden look like George Washington. Harris-Walz is a full-scale disaster area in the waiting for the economy, for the price of living, for foreign policy, for social policy. It is almost impossible to imagine how bad Kamala Harris would be as president, along with Tim Walz as her vice president. Horrifying. Which means that distractible Trump needs to go away for a while. There was some distractible Trump at the presser. So, for example, he was ripping into Brian Kemp again. Dude, Georgia is close. Stop ripping into the popular Republican governor of Georgia who has endorsed you for the presidency. Stop it.
I got him elected. Without me, he wouldn't be governor. I got him elected. He was doing terribly. I got him elected. With that being said, I hope we can repair it. But if we don't, the people are still the people, and they're going to vote. We're leading in Georgia by a lot.
Okay, well, stop that. Like, really, is that useful? It happens to be largely factually incorrect. But also, is it useful? Or Trump raging about Kamala's crowd sizes? Like, is this the kind of stuff that's going to win you the presidency?
I had 107,000 people in New Jersey. You didn't report it. I'm so glad you asked. What did she have yesterday, 2,000 people? If I ever had 2,000 people, you'd say my campaign is finished. It's so dishonest, the press. And here's a great example. I had in Michigan recently 25,000 people, and 25,000 people were just, we just couldn't get them in. We had in Harrisburg 25,000 people, and 20,000 people couldn't get in. We had so many. Nobody ever mentions that. When she gets 1,500 people, and I saw it yesterday on ABC, which they said, oh, the crowd was so big. I have 10 times, 20 times, 30 times the crowd size. And no, they never say the crowd was big. That's why I'm always saying turn around the cameras.
Yeah, the media bias is a real issue, but the crowd size obsession is not. And this is not me saying that, that Trump is being terrible or anything like that. The point is, when Trump is well-directed, when he directs himself, he is an absolute weapon. And that's what he needs to be in this campaign, because this is too close. She cannot become president because of failures by the Trump by the Trump Vance campaign. That can't be a thing. No mistakes here on in. That's the kind of campaign that he needs to run, because Kamala is a target-rich environment. She is, in fact, warm toward socialism. Here she was yesterday talking about believing in the collective.
We believe in the collective. We're not falling for these folks who are trying to divide us, trying to separate us,
believe in the collective,
trying to pull us apart. That's not where the strength lies.
The collective. The strength is in the collective. I mean, just say it out loud, lady. And meanwhile, she's running away from her own record on everything. Yesterday at a rally, she was like, I'll fight inflation day one. Well, I noticed that it is day 1,297 of you being vice president, and you haven't done a damn thing about inflation.
You know, when I was attorney general, I went after price-fixing schemes. And when I am president, it will be a day one priority to fight to bring down prices. I will take on big corporations that engage in illegal price gouging. I will take on corporate landlords that unfairly raise rents on working families. I will take on big pharma and cap the cost of prescription drugs for all Americans.
Rent and price controls. And cracking down on all the R&D. That's her plan. On day one, by the way. She's not been vice president. Did you know that? She's not been anywhere. But she's also responsible for every decision that Joe Biden has made. But she simultaneously is responsible for none of those decisions, which is pretty incredible. It's an incredible feat. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
All right, coming up, Vice Presidential Candidate Tim Walz is a complete mess of a human being and candidate. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Tony and Audrey were married for over 20 years. Then they weren't. But when their paths once again collide as they attempt to figure out who gets what from their old cottage, old tensions flare up, not helped by the arrival of their devious daughter. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Moment of Weakness, an incredibly British comedy written by Donald Churchill, directed by Andrew Gibson. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net and sponsored by Reading Cultural District, this station, and other pro-arts businesses.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North
date now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Kamala Harris was counting on Tim Walz to shore her up in the blue states. I'm not sure that's going to go well in those blue wall states. The Tim Walz problems are still percolating, and there are no answers. He's gone, too. So Kamala Harris is hoping that Tim Walz can prop up that blue wall, apparently. That's going to be hard when he is still not responding to stolen valor allegations. According to MSNBC, the Harris campaign won't even respond to these allegations. They're not even responding to the fact that apparently he bragged for years about being in Iraq and Afghanistan. And according to his fellow soldiers, he abandoned his battalion as soon as he found out they were headed to Iraq so he could run for Congress instead. Here's MSNBC. No, we've got no comment, none.
They are not specifically saying whether or not he misrepresented his time. They're not really engaging specifically on the idea of whether or not, as the Trump campaign is saying, that he lied about this. But they are saying, here's what he did say. So it's interesting to see the campaign respond, the Harris campaign respond in this way. They've been fast about responding. They've been very clear and engaging when it comes to reporters on this, though we still have a question of whether or not he misspoke in that specific moment or whether or not this was sort of something that he did that was a falsehood.
Oh, well, you mean he lied? Is that what Yumi Shalcindor is saying, that he lied? Is this something that he did that was a falsehood? Funny way of saying lied. Van Jones, again, the only honest man in left-wing media, he slammed the Harris campaign on Walz's military issues.
It's conceivable that he's been loose with his language or said stuff that doesn't... That's not, I mean, there's... People are human beings on these campaign trails, and so... But now he's running for a major position... if he needs to clean it up, clean it up. The reality is, if he said one or two things or said some things that turned out to be maybe a little bit too sloppy, fix it. Because he's got a gazillion people who are willing to stand up for his character. He's got gay students who are willing to stand up for his character. He's got people he served with willing to stand up for his character. If this comes down to a character contest between this ticket and Donald Trump, we're going to win 50 states. So let's just get this cleaned up and move on.
Okay, but they can't clean it up and they can't move on because he lied. And he's been lying about his career the whole time. And she introduced him in front of the entire American public as a head coach of a football team. He was an assistant coach. He's been introduced to the American public as a war veteran. He was never in a war zone. That's his problem, okay? Like, if he said he's in a war zone, that's a him problem. He's the one who's been fibbing about that for literally years. There's a picture of him from 2004 saying enduring freedom veterans against Bush. He had not served in a combat zone enduring freedom. Like, it's just... It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The good news is, again, that a Praetorian Guard will come to their defense. Here is CNN's Brianna Keeler attacking J.D. Vance's military service. J.D. Vance actually was in a war zone.
J.D. Vance, as a messenger on this, may be an imperfect messenger because we have, as you introduced him, as a combat correspondent, which was what his title was. But when you dig a little deeper into that, he was a public affairs specialist. someone who did not see combat, which certainly the title combat correspondent kind of gives you a different impression.
No, that is not what that means at all. I love that the media immediately shifts into attacking J.D. Vance when Tim Walz is the one who's been fibbing about where he served. Amidst all of this, things continue to not be good on the planet Earth, where Kamala Harris is the current sitting vice president and maybe the acting president, because again, Joe Biden is no longer with us. That's the amazing. Can I just explain how crazy this is? That the president of the United States, the most powerful person in the world today, which means literally by military statistics, the most powerful person in world history, is non compos mentis. We don't know where he is or what he is doing. He can't speak out of his face hole, and his brain doesn't work most of the hours of the day. And we're supposed to be completely sanguine not only about that, but about the fact that his vice president is on the campaign trail answering no questions about what she is currently doing in the White House or how she plans to run things if made president of the United States. This is all crazy towns. It's crazy. Where is the president? Where is the vice president? These are all empty suits. The system is running things. There is a system that is running things. And that system continues to run these things and run them incredibly poorly. Meanwhile, there's still the threat of burgeoning war in the Middle East. Iran continues every single night to threaten Israel. Now, they haven't done so because they understand that if they actually go too far, Israel will obliterate their nuclear program and their oil fields. And so they're being quite careful about this. One of the weird side effects of the horror show that has been the Biden-Harris administration is that America's allies are now beginning to realize they cannot count on America, and they're going about their business kind of on their own. Right? Israel has decided it's just going to kill its enemies now, and it's not going to listen to the weird mumblings of Joe Biden, which is why they knocked off Ismail Haniyeh, the political leader of Hamas, as well as the number two in Hezbollah. And they made very clear to the Lebanese government that if Hezbollah starts shooting off thousands of rockets into Israel and targeting Israeli cities, that the Beirut airport will be inoperative the first hour. The electrical grid will be inoperative that same exact hour, that basically all of Lebanon will be shut down. Israel has made that perfectly clear. The Biden administration, fearing exactly that, has now gone and done the right thing and told Iran, if you do this, things are going to be very bad for you because we can't keep Israel on the chain. Well, you know what would have been nice is if they had done this from the beginning. This entire war would have been over in March if the Biden administration did not intervene on behalf of the Iranians. Pretty incredible work there by Biden-Harris. Meanwhile, over in Ukraine, the Ukrainians are saying, we're not going to wait around for the United States to get its ass in gear. According to the Washington Post, Ukrainian troops battled for a Thursday in Russia's Kursk region, occupying villages and part of a town in what has become the Western-backed military's largest cross-border incursion since the Kremlin invasion in 2022. U.S., Ukrainian, and Russian officials all acknowledged the ongoing attack, which stunned Moscow and appeared to involve the use of armored fighting vehicles donated to Kyiv by the United States and its European partners. A development that drew no immediate objection from the Biden administration despite its past restrictions on such use of American weaponry. It looks very much as though the Ukrainians are like, you know what, we're going to do what we got to do, and if you don't like it, tough. And you know what, good for them. Because the fact is that the United States has been a horrifyingly bad ally to most of its allies all over the world during the Biden-Harris administration. But no questions for Joe Biden, and no questions for Kamala Harris. That's the important thing. They must never be forced to answer a single question at any point. Well, one piece of good news here. We talked about this yesterday. It was breaking news after the show. But we've talked on the show about Global Alliance for Responsible Media. You'll remember that I testified before Congress about the Global Alliance for Responsible Media. It's effectively a third-party censorship group. All of the advertising agencies, 90% of all advertising dollars, made themselves subject to GARM standards. GARM standards were subjective standards whereby effectively all left-wing programming was deemed advertiser-safe and all right-wing programming was deemed advertiser-unfriendly. Well, now GARM has shut down. We exposed them, the House Judiciary Committee. We hear at Daily Wire, Elon Musk, Rumble, which threatened to sue them. Everyone came together to fight, and GARM is no more. According to the New York Times, an influential advertising industry group said it would shut down after being sued this week by X, Elon Musk's social media company. GARM told its members it would cease operations 2 days after Musk accused the group of orchestrating a boycott against X. While the World Federation of Advertisers denied that GARM's work had run afoul of the law, it said the nonprofit did not have the financial resources to continue operating while it fights X in court. Now, the reality is what happened here is that GARM was humiliated. Its advertising partners were humiliated because it turns out that most people aren't real fond of advertisers boycotting one side of the aisle. It makes them a little annoyed. We're very proud of that particular victory. It is good for the country. All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Former President Trump's plane is forced to make an unscheduled landing Friday. The former president was on his way to a campaign rally in Bozeman, Montana, when his plane suffered a mechanical issue. The flight was diverted and landed in the town of Billings instead, about 2 hours away. An airport worker confirmed the former president used a private jet to get to the rally. Though no longer a tropical storm, now Tropical Depression Debbie, still dropping copious amounts of rain on eastern states. National Weather Service meteorologist Frank Piera said the remnants of Debbie have produced heavy rain in areas of the Northeast, and he expects that to continue.
Going forward, it looks like across portions of eastern Pennsylvania into upstate New York, we're looking at an additional 1 to 3 inches with locally heavier amounts expected through tonight. And this will continue to produce areas of flash and urban flooding, as well as river flooding across that area.
People in Vermont also bracing for heavy rain after two storms caused significant flooding in the state last month. At least 8 people have died as a result of the storm. Federal health officials have declined to approve the psychedelic drug MDMA as a therapy for PTSD.
Drug maker Lykos Therapeutics announced the FDA's decision on Friday. Supporters of psychedelic therapy hope that MDMA would make history as the first illegal psychedelic to win FDA approval, paving the way for similar drugs to enter the medical mainstream. But FDA's rejection was widely expected after a negative review of the drug in June. Government advisors voted overwhelmingly against the drug, citing questionable study data and allegations of research misconduct. Keith Peters reporting.
The FDA is approving the first needle-free alternative to the EpiPen. It's a single-use nasal spray to treat allergic reactions in emergencies, calling it Neffy. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE.
There have been 3 suspected Houthi attacks on a ship off Yemen amid concerns of a wider regional war.
A ship near the Red Sea has been targeted in a suspected Houthi attack. British military authorities say there were 3 attempted strikes on a private security vessel, which saw a missile and a grenade explode nearby. No injuries or physical damage were reported. Authorities assess the vessel to be aligned with that of the Houthis. Although the rebels haven't claimed the assaults, they sometimes take hours or days to acknowledge responsibility. After a recent 2-week pause, their attacks have resumed following the assassination of a Hamas leader. Nayan Kim, London.
Brazil's president says 62 people are dead after a passenger plane crashed. Cell phone video from the ground shows the propeller-powered plane spiraling and falling from the sky, killing 58 passengers and 4 crew members. The State Fire Brigade says crews went to the crash site, which was in a residential area. News and analysis at townhall.com. White House senior advisor Gene Sperling leaving the administration to work with Kamala Harris's campaign.
Sperling served both Bill Clinton and Barack Obama as director of the White House's National Economic Council. President Joe Biden tasked him with managing his $1.9 trillion pandemic aid package, a role in which Sperling implemented the temporary expansion of the child tax credit. The pandemic programs cut child poverty in half with tax credits that went to 40 million families and provided rental assistance to 8 million. But Republican critics blame the pandemic aid for sparking higher inflation, an issue that has hounded the Biden administration as many voters say that groceries, housing, and gasoline have become less affordable. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Anita Dunn, former senior advisor to President Biden, attributing the end of his reelection campaign to attacks by Democrats and liberal media.
Anita Dunn said Biden's poor debate performance against Trump wasn't the reason for the demise. She blamed public comments from congressional Democrats like Nancy Pelosi casting doubt on Biden's candidacy. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, it's that time of the day again. We have to update our calendar because it is now day 20 of Kamala Harris taking zero adversarial questions since becoming the Democratic nominee. She's running away from reporters. She is turning down Donald Trump's request for additional debates. But don't worry. She is so brilliant. She is so with it. She's so intelligent. She's so convincing. She's not just a cardboard cutout that they stack up in front of a teleprompter to say things out of her face hole, and then the media cheer like a bunch of wild schoolgirls. We'll get to all of this in just a second. First, Daily Wire Plus members, you have unlimited on-demand access to our uncensored ad-free daily shows, real-time breaking news, investigative journalism. So if you're not a member, now would be the time, since there is stuff happening literally every moment of every day. I'm exhausted. I don't know about you, but I'm covering it here for you. We need your help. Don't be left in the dark. Join the fight right now at dailywire.com/subscribe. Okay, so yesterday, large-scale contrast between Donald Trump, the Republican candidate for the presidency, and Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris continues to run a basement campaign. It's a basement campaign that is punctuated by her going to large rallies and saying things off a teleprompter, and Tim Walz giving a strange, enthusiastic dance routine that is really off-putting to those of us who still have a shred of sanity left. You just feel like you're being gaslit all the time by the Harris-Walz campaign. Because she went from being one of the most unpopular figures in Democratic politics to a magical figure of joy, light, and excitement. And then they trot out this 60-year-old doofus to dance around on the stage while talking about how he is a moderate who only loves abortion and loves trans and the kids. I mean, it's just, it's all crazy. And then they say that Trump is afraid to debate. Okay, so yesterday, Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago gave an hour-long press conference, a thing that Kamala Harris has not done. The most noteworthy thing that he said is that he doesn't just want one debate with Kamala Harris. He wants three debates with Kamala Harris. Here he was announcing that yesterday.
I think it's very important to have debates. And we've agreed with Fox on a date of September 4th. We've agreed with NBC, fairly full agreement subject to them, on September 10th. And we've agreed with ABC on September 25th.
Okay, so that is good news. That is good news. It's what we've been encouraging him on the show to do. He needs to debate Kamala because the media ain't going to do their job. They're absolutely not going to do their job. They're going to run screaming away from their job, as it turns out. So then Kamala Harris, she came forth and she explained she would not be doing three debates on three separate networks. No, she would only agree to the debate that Joe Biden negotiated with Donald Trump back when Joe Biden was the candidate. That was before she shivved him in the back and took his nomination, which is precisely what happened. By the way, it is kind of weird that Joe Biden is still president of the United States and is wandering into walls, speaking nonsensically. You know his entire schedule? The current president of the United States, the most powerful person on earth, who you've completely forgotten about. We all did. Old Joe. His schedule next week involves him being in Delaware and taking two scheduled phone calls. That is his schedule next week, apparently. Just slow clap for the media, who are doing an incredible job. They went from, this man cannot be the nominee because he's senile, too. He can still be the president because he's senile, and his vice presidential candidate, who is avoiding us like the plague, is actually sweetness and light. Here she was yesterday saying she's looking forward to their September 10th debate. So the little game she's playing is she says she will not accept any further debates until they do the September 10th debate. And Trump should say, well, no, I'm not going to do the September 10th debate unless you're willing to do all three. Because the reality is the American people don't know you. You're hiding from the media. You're hiding from questions. You're actually a dummy when you get off the teleprompter, which is that's been true for Kamala Harris her entire lifetime. Instead, what she's trying to do is delay it beyond September 10th because she feels like she'll do well enough on September 10th to put questions to bed about her candidacy. And then she doesn't want to be out there having to answer more questions. In fact, her entire plan is never to answer any questions. Here she was yesterday.
Are you participating in all three?
I've always been on record. I am looking forward to debating Donald Trump. If we have a date of September 10th, I hear he's finally committed to it. I'm looking forward.
What about the other two?
What about the other two? Nope, she's gone. Bye. Catch you later. No questions. No questions. By the way, she did deign to tell the press yesterday that she would be scheduling an interview, maybe an interview, before the end of the month. Here's what she had to say yesterday on the tarmac. And the media played this as though she took questions from the media. Those were not questions. That was a hot stone massage. There's a difference.
Madam President, there's been a lot of questions about when you're going to sit down for your first interview since being the nominee. Do you have any
updates on that? I've talked to my team. I want us to get an interview scheduled before the end of the month. Thank you.
Well, that's a serious answer. Before the end of the month. Now, let me take a look at the calendar here. It appears to me, unless all my information and the entire calendrical system is somehow false, that today would be Friday, August 9th. I noticed that the month of August actually has many days in it, like a lot of days. In fact, it has 31 days in it, unless I am sadly mistaken. And yet she wants to do one interview before the end of the month? Are you kidding me? I have a question for all you journalismers, all you professional journalismers. If you can put down the lotion long enough to actually do your jobs, maybe you might want to, you know, put a little pressure on the Harris-Walz campaign to answer a question, some questions, any questions. Maybe you might want to ask the very obvious question to the campaign. Why won't you do a presser? Why won't you do an interview? Why are you running away from any question ever? Why are you only committing to one debate? A debate, by the way, that you didn't negotiate with Trump. Your boss negotiated with Trump before you took him out back and shot him like Old Yeller. Where is the media? We know the answer. The media are in her colon. That's where the media are. This is not just Donald Trump and J.D. Vance against Harris and Walz. It's them against the entire legacy media. Because the entire legacy media clicked back into place the minute that Joe Biden went down. They clicked back into place. And suddenly, like a switch, they were enthusiastic about Kamala. So much excitement. So much joy. Triple exclamation point. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home project, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrade? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
Kamala Harris's entire routine here is to play Joe Biden's basement campaign from 2020 with some peppy rallies and some pop music from upcoming stars that I've never heard of, presumably. She was asked yesterday about whether she had any response to Donald Trump's criticisms of her. You know, very hard question. Very hard question here. Do you have any response to people criticizing you? And she's like, nope, can't even hear the criticism. I'm above all of that.
Can you comment on some of his other criticisms? He made a whole litany of them today.
I was too busy talking to voters. I didn't hear
him. She's been talking to voters. She didn't hear him. I mean, that's a lie, number one. She knows all the criticisms because they've been widely reported. Also, the last time somebody on the Harris-Walz ticket claimed deafness to avoid culpability for something, it was her vice president claiming deafness to avoid a DUI. So this is a solid ticket right here. And more, I don't blame Harris and Walz for doing this routine. It's great work if you can get it. If you can get away with all of this, good for you. But where are the journalists? Where are they? Why don't they do their job? That is the big question. So yesterday, Donald Trump proved that he was perfectly willing to go out in front of a wildly adversarial press. He tried to reset the table, I think successfully, because the focus in this campaign cannot be on all of these sort of random Festivus grievances that Donald Trump has against Brian Kemp in Georgia. And it can't be about questions about her blackness or anything like that. It's got to be about her record. This is the most left-wing ticket in the history of American politics. Donald Trump's task yesterday was twofold. One, to demonstrate that he was willing to actually take questions in a way that she is not, which is clearly true. He went to the National Association of Black Journalists last week, and he did like a 35-minute interview with people who hate his guts. She has yet to answer a single adversarial question. And again, we are in day 20 of this ridiculous, pathetic routine. It really is sickening because the American people are owed some answers to questions before we select the next president of the United States. Are we not? What exactly do journalists think they do around here? Trump had two tasks. One is prove that he could take questions, which he can. And two, try to redirect toward the Harris-Walz record, which is insanely radical. Somehow Kamala Harris, by the way, has been able to avoid culpability for the administration in which she is the vice president of the United States, which is insane to me. That's totally crazy. In 2008, John McCain was made responsible for George W. Bush's administration, despite the fact he wasn't in that administration. Mitt Romney was turned into an heir to George W. Bush, despite the fact he had no relationship with George W. Bush. But Kamala Harris, who literally says she is the last person in the room for every Biden decision, has been able to avoid culpability for the entire Biden administration record, which is a heaping pile of flaming trash. So, Trump has a twofold task yesterday. I think he hit both of them. One is, he's willing to stand up to press. She isn't. Two is, let's focus on her record. Here he was yesterday warning about economic and security meltdowns under the next Kamala Harris administration.
I think that our country is right now in the most dangerous position it's ever been in from an economic standpoint, from a safety standpoint. Both gangs on the street and, frankly, gangs outside of our country in the form of other countries that are, frankly, very powerful. They're very powerful countries, and we don't know what we're doing. We have leadership that has no clue how to handle them or how to handle any other situation. You could end up in a depression of the 1929 variety, which would be a devastating thing. Took many years, took decades to recover from it. And we're very close to that. We're very close to a world war. In my opinion, we're very close to a world war. We have people that don't know how to handle it. They're not respected. All over the world, they're laughed at. And we can't have that.
He's right about all of that, of course. And then Trump said about himself that he is a common sense person who wants low taxes, strong borders, and a strong military. This should be the campaign. This should be the campaign. Message discipline. That is all.
We're a party of common sense, and I'm a person of common sense. I want to have low taxes. I want to have strong borders. I want to have a strong military.
Okay, again. That is a very common sense message, and she is a person who wants the opposite of that. High taxes, weak borders, and a weak military. That is a very good campaign, and it happens to be true. Trump said that Kamala was the worst border czar in American history, which, of course, is also true.
As a border czar, she's been the worst border czar in history, in the world history. I think the number is 20 million, but whether it's 15 or 20, it's numbers that nobody's ever heard before. 20 million people came over the border in the last, during the Biden Harris administration, 20 million people.
Okay, so again, this over and over and over. Now, Trump did note in the press conference yesterday that all of this kind of honeymooning over Kamala Harris, who is a terrible candidate, she's terrible. There's a tweet yesterday, somebody suggesting, you know, well, she's like the person who hit well in the minors, who was never given a shot, and then she gets to the majors and she's hitting 330, and you're like, why didn't we start with this person? No, she's actually like the person who's in the minor leagues and had a bunch of potential, then came up to the majors and hit 180. That'd be her 2020 presidential race. And then was sent back down and then was brought back up to be vice president. And she hit 180 again. And then she was sent back down and then she was brought back up as the nominee. And then in the first couple of weeks, she went 6-for-8. And now she's going to regress to the mean and she's going to bat 180. And that's essentially the case that Donald Trump is making right here.
The honeymoon period's going to end. Look, she's got a little period. She's got a convention coming up. It's about policy. It's not about her. I think she's incompetent because I've watched her. She destroyed California. She destroyed San Francisco. Everything she's touched has turned to bad things.
He is right. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First.
Hey, everyone. This is Michael Knowles, host of The Michael Knowles Show. If you want just the most condensed, accurate, right of Attila the Hun commentary that there is out there, you've got to tune into the show. Because we don't leave it at just those shallow little platitudes up at the top or the talking points. We don't even just get into the culture or whatever. We go even deeper down to the most fundamental roots of what we believe and what we do. Watch The Michael Knowles Show on Daily Wire Plus or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, coming up, Donald Trump points out that Kamala Harris cannot be off teleprompter. He's absolutely correct. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Ready for an unforgettable night of amazing music and good vibes? Then join us for an epic night at Danger Kitty's Billion Dollar Bash 2. It's all going down August 24th at the Axiom Repertory Theater, and this lineup is straight fire. We're talking about the killer sounds of Jeremy Ryan and the California Grown Band and the Pine Dogs Unleashed as openers, with Danger Kitty as the main event. Plus, you'll be feasting on some mouthwatering grub from Lakata's Catering, and the Axiom No Host Bar will be open. The whole shebang is included in your ticket price, and it's powered by Kay Shasta, Soundwave Entertainment, and KCNR Radio. Don't miss out on what is guaranteed to be a legendary night of rock and roll. Grab your tickets, rally your crew, as this promises to be a night to remember. Head on over to our website, DangerKittyMusic.com, or the Axiom Theater website for all the details and tickets. We'll see you there.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Kamala Harris has gone into hiding from the media, and Donald Trump is pointing it out. And he points out, and this again, should be something that the Republicans point out over and over and over. She cannot be off teleprompter. She is whatever the teleprompter says she is at any given moment. Here is Trump saying, Kamala can't do an interview. Where is she? She's Where's Waldo?
She hasn't done an interview. She can't do an interview. She's barely competent, and she can't do an interview. But I look forward to the debates because I think we have to set the record straight.
Well, I mean, by the way, she is the one who is saying she only wants one debate, and it's the debate that was preset with Joe Biden. She is a coward. Do you understand? She's politically a coward. She's backed off every position she ever held, but not herself. She has her surrogates doing it. She won't do an interview to answer for any of those changes in time. She won't explain why she was for Joe Biden's mental competence until she was against it and just shoved that old dude off the back of the train. She can't answer any questions, and she won't answer any questions. And now Democrats are out there saying that she doesn't have to answer any questions. Here is Senator Alex Padilla from California suggesting that Harris doesn't need to take any questions because she's just too glorious. Our queen, Slay Queen, must take no questions whatsoever, ever.
You've got to cut her a little bit of slack for the last 3.5 weeks. An unprecedented way to become the nominee for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, we noticed that.
The delegates.
It caused some questions, maybe.
To become the presumptive nominee, she has quickly vetted and selected a tremendous
running mate in Governor Walz. We're preparing for the Democratic convention in Chicago, and she's stumping. She's doing the day job and stumping in all the critical battleground states. So we'll get to the media interviews soon enough.
No, you won't. And by the way, I love that he trots out a bunch of things that you should have questions about. And then he's like, but she must be asked no questions. She's been busy. Yes, you mean defenestrating her boss? Yeah, she's been busy selecting a vice president on the basis of him not being a Jew. Like, there are some questions about all these things, and she's avoiding those questions. And it's maddening. It truly is. If you feel like I do, which is that this entire electoral cycle has been a complete and utter chaotic bleep show. And you got some questions. And then you are told, no, she doesn't have to answer questions. She's too kind, godlike, and joyous to have to answer questions. She's busy. Is it irritating? I feel like it's irritating, not just to me. I think there are a lot of Americans to whom this is irritating, who are owed answers by the current sitting vice president of the United States, who has presided over the worst inflation in 40 years, a meltdown in the Middle East, a slow-rolling disaster in Ukraine, an aggressive China, a fraying of the social fabric, a polarization along racial and sex lines. I feel like some questions should be answered before we make that lady the president of the United States after winning zero, count them, zero primary votes ever. Not just this time, last time too. I feel like I'm going nuts here because how do you take a person who you all deemed to be completely unworthy of her job and then flip in 1 second and say that she is not just worthy, she is the most worthy and all must bow before her. And then when we have questions, you're like, no, there will be no questions. She requires no... Nancy Pelosi doing the same routine. So Nancy Pelosi, who effectively beheaded the president of the United States politically, and she did an interview yesterday in which she basically spat on Joe Biden's grave. It's pretty amazing. But here was Nancy Pelosi saying, Kamala doesn't need to talk to the press. Of course she doesn't need to talk to the press. And meanwhile, Jake Tapper on CNN is kind of like, well, I mean, doesn't she? And Nancy's like, no, we know what you'll do. You will all just sit down and shut up. And she's right. She's right, because the media are just an adjunct to the Democratic Party.
Do you think that the vice president needs to be more out there talking to reporters, talking about issues in a give and take, not just in speeches?
I think she should say what I just said in that sentence. She has, should be herself. She should be ready. She should know her power in all of this. And I don't give anybody advice except to be themselves and be ready and know the power of their individuality and their authenticity.
Oh, my God. The power of her authenticity and individuality? You know how we might know if she's authentic? If someone would ask her a damned question, that might be a good way to find out whether someone's authentic or not, is if they would actually go and be in an adversarial situation and answer for themselves, as opposed to deploying their friends in the legacy media and their paid surrogates to lie about all of their positions. Nancy Pelosi, she has to feel her power. Dentures are clacking. By the way, you want to talk about somebody who feels her power? Again, Nancy Pelosi legitimately defenestrated the sitting president of the United States. Nancy Pelosi literally did an interview in which she ripped Biden's debate performance and said he was not sentient to be president of the United States, so she ousted him. This is that same interview.
What was your reaction when you saw him walk out there and then his answers or his inability to give coherent answers?
Well, I thought we were going to see Joe Biden from the State of the Union. I never want him to debate what's his name because it's always, he's a joke. You know, it's not a funny joke, but it's a joke. And he said, no, I'm looking forward to it. And so he was confident about that. Mm-hmm. So when I saw him, I thought, in my view, overprepped, not a good idea.
Overprepped. She's a liar. In that same day, she did an interview with David Remnick over at the New Yorker, quote, and this is about Joe Biden. Remember, this is the lady who says she won't give any advice to Kamala Harris. She is responsible for Kamala Harris's nomination, almost solely, quote, I've never been that impressed with Joe Biden's political operation. They won the White House, bravo. But my concern was, this ain't happening, and we have to make a decision for this to happen. The president has to make the decision for that to happen. She said, I really wanted him to make a decision for a better campaign because they were not facing the fact of what was happening. We couldn't see it go down the drain because Trump was going to be president. And then he was going to take the House. Imagine how that would be. Well, we don't have to imagine. We saw. So she basically ousted the guy. But now she has no advice for Nancy, for Kamala Harris. No advice at all. She just needs to be her authentic self. The most authentic. I just advise people to be the most authentic they can be. The least authentic human being in America is Kamala Harris. That lady is manufactured. That lady has more preservatives in her than a box of McDonald's french fries. It's insane. But we all know what's going on here. They are hiding her. They are hiding her from the media because she's not capable. She's not a capable candidate. And the media are perfectly happy being treated this way. That's the part that's amazing. All right, coming up, Kamala Harris hiding in that basement. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Landlords and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hey, Redding, take an inflation vacation with Black Bear Diner's 7 new weekday dinner deals starting at just $9.99. Tasty fish tacos, creamy fettuccine carbonara, steak and fries, a crispy chicken dinner, beef stroganoff, and more. Serve Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. Escape inflation's grip on your wallet and set the table tonight with good old-fashioned family food at your friendly Black Bear Diner in Redding on Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal DiMercurio here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Schools.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's getting crowded in the Democratic basement for high-profile figures hiding from the media. Eugene Daniels of Politico Playbook. He said VP Kamala Harris took a few questions on the tarmac just now. What were those questions? When she would do a sit-down interview? Would she do a debate with Trump? Is she open to more debates? If she felt bad because Republicans kept attacking Tim Walz, and on why Trump originally backed out of the debate. Again, those are not questions. Those are softballs. Clearly. Wild stuff here. So Donald Trump, again, he was on the offensive yesterday over at Mar-a-Lago. He ripped into the press. They were asking about his limited campaign schedule, and he's like, have you noticed that Kamala Harris is taking zero of your questions?
What a stupid question this is. Because I'm leading by a lot and because I'm letting their convention go through, and I am campaigning a lot. I'm doing tremendous amounts of taping here. We have commercials that are at a level I don't think that anybody's ever done before. Plus, in certain cases, I see many of you in the room where I'm speaking to you on phones, I'm speaking to radio, I'm speaking to television. Television's coming over here. Excuse me, what are we doing right now? She's not doing any news conference. You know why she's not doing it? Because she can't do a news conference. She doesn't know how to do a news conference. She's not smart enough to do a news conference. And I'm sorry, we need smart people to lead this country.
Okay, he's right about all of that. So, did the press choose to focus on the fact that he happens to be correct and that Kamala Harris is not doing her job and they're not doing their? Of course they're not going to focus on that. They're complicit. They're part of the conspiracy of silence surrounding Kamala Harris. Instead, they decided to focus on the sort of random part of the Trump presser. So the thing about an hour-long Donald Trump presser is because it is disorganized, shall we say. That means the media can always choose four or five headlines that they like out of the grab basket of things that Trump talks about. So, for example, Donald Trump slammed Tim Walz's abortion record, and he pointed out that in Minnesota, they actually changed the law to avoid punishment for doctors who didn't take care of babies who were accidentally born alive during an abortion. Here was Trump.
The Democrats are really the radical ones on this because they're allowed to do abortion on the eighth and ninth month and even after birth. If you look at your new governor from Minnesota, he's talking about, he's like the governor previous, the former governor. I don't want to get him mixed up because Glenn is doing a good job and he's leading our whole campaign in Virginia, Glenn Youngkin. But previous to Glenn, the governor, he said the baby will be born, we will put the baby aside and we will decide with the mother what we're going to do. In other words, whether or not we're going to kill the baby.
Okay, so media say he's mixing up Ralph Northam, who is the governor prior to Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, and Tim Walz, the current vice presidential candidate in Minnesota. There's only one problem. Trump happens to be right on the policy. According to Roger Severino, post-birth abortion is real. Harris Walz supported. At least five babies were born alive after botched abortions and left to die under Tim Walz's care. Two of these struggling babies were given comfort care instead of medical care, allegedly in violation of state law. How did Walz respond? By repealing the very law exposing and outlawing this horror and replacing it with abortion on demand on the front end and infanticide on the back end. So it wasn't even wrong on the policy. Hey, then the media got very angry at Trump saying true things that he's not allowed to say, because that's the way this works. If a Democrat were to say similar things, it would be totally fine. If Trump says it, it's very bad. So, for example, Trump explained why Kamala Harris is rising in the polls. Now, if Kamala said the exact same thing, it would be slay, queen, play Beyonce's Freedom and walk out that door snapping your fingers in a Z formation. Let's just do that. But if Trump says it, he's a racist or something. Here we go.
What do you attribute her rising in the polls to becoming a more competitive race than she's taken over?
Well, she's a woman. she represents certain groups of people?
Well, yes. And they're all like, oh, my God, he pointed out she's a woman. That's her entire campaign. Her entire campaign is she's a woman. Joe Biden explicitly picked her for VP because she's a woman. Now she's doing the whole own your power, girl. First woman president. Oh, man. And when he says she appeals to particular groups of people, she is the one who literally has campaign Zoom calls based on race, sex, and sexual orientation. And meanwhile, Trump said the thing that's unsayable. It's so unsayable. He said Jewish Americans voting for Kamala should have their heads examined. Okay, he is right about this. He is totally 100% right. Kamala Harris flirted with people who want to full-scale disarm the state of Israel in the face of its terrorist enemies yesterday. Kamala Harris's first open statement as the presidential nominee was ripping into Israel's human rights record based on the lies of Hamas. Ilhan Omar is openly campaigning for Tim Walz. They literally said last week that they might pick Josh Shapiro, the clear and obvious frontrunner for the VP, and then they threw him out the window because he happened to be a Jew. When Trump says that Jewish Americans are fools if they vote for this ticket, he is correct. The reality is that if you care at all about Judaism, you should have some very serious questions about the Democratic Party at this point in time. Here is Trump.
And I say it, if anybody I know is Jewish and they would vote for Kamala over me, they should have their head examined.
He is correct. He is correct. By the way, the latest indicator of this, according to the Jewish Insider, for several weeks, the city of Chicago has been sitting on a request from a pro-Israel group to hold a solidarity march during the Democratic National Convention, even while it granted permission for a coalition of pro-Palestinian activists to demonstrate when the proceedings kick off later this month. The Israeli-American Council, a nonprofit organization representing Israeli-Americans seeking to strengthen ties between the U.S. and Israel, filed two applications with the Chicago DOT at the beginning of July. They have not heard from the city. Meanwhile, every single pro-terrorist group in Chicago is being given a permit to protest. Meanwhile, Palestinian activist Laila Elabad, who's one of the people who met Kamala Harris the other day, she is apparently Rashida Tlaib's sister or something, she says that Kamala will lose Michigan if she doesn't cave to us, and Kamala knows it, which is why she's pandering to these people.
So it seems to me if you lose enough voters here, mm-hmm. Harris, she probably will lose Michigan.
Yeah, 100%. We are being asked to choose between a candidate that supports a far right-wing government to carry out war crimes against Palestinians. I think right now we need more than ever from VP Harris a guarantee that she will adopt the demands of our movement and adopt the demands of this coalition.
Again, these are the people that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are flirting with. Not just that. According to the Washington Examiner breaking this morning, Tim Walz, on at least five occasions as governor of Minnesota, hosted a Muslim cleric who celebrated Hamas's October 7th attack last year on Israel and promoted a film popular among neo-Nazis that glorifies Adolf Hitler. The imam, whose name is Asad Zaman of the Muslim American Society of Minnesota, joined other Muslim leaders in May 2023 about mosque security in a meeting with Walz's gubernatorial office in Minnesota. He also spoke at a May 2020 event to call for peaceful protests with the governor. In April 2019, that cleric delivered an invocation before Walz's state address. Meanwhile, Zaman said on October 7th that, quote, he stands in solidarity with Palestinians against Israeli attacks. Okay, so those are the types of people that the Harris campaign is bringing into the fold. So when Trump says that, the scandal is not Trump saying it. The scandal is Harris, Walz, and what they're doing. Okay, so there's three categories of things happening at this Trump presser. The good stuff where Trump is pointing out the deep and abiding flaws in the Harris-Walz platform campaign, the fact they're running away from the press. There's the medium stuff where Trump is saying true things that the media are deliberately misconstruing or lying about. And then there's sort of the distractible Trump. And distractible Trump needs to be minimized because, as we have said, there's no room for error in this election cycle. Trump needs this administration. Harris-Walz will make Joe Biden look like George Washington. Harris-Walz is a full-scale disaster area in the waiting for the economy, for the price of living, for foreign policy, for social policy. It is almost impossible to imagine how bad Kamala Harris would be as president, along with Tim Walz as her vice president. Horrifying, which means that distractible Trump needs to go away for a while. There was some distractible Trump at the presser. So, for example, he was ripping into Brian Kemp again. Dude, Georgia is close. Stop ripping into the popular Republican governor of Georgia who has endorsed you for the presidency. Stop it.
I got him elected. Without me, he wouldn't be governor. I got him elected. He was doing terribly. I got him elected. With that being said, I hope we can repair it. But if we don't, the people are still the people, and they're going to vote. We're leading in Georgia by a lot.
Okay, well, stop that. Like, really, is that useful? It happens to be largely factually incorrect. But also, is it useful? Or Trump raging about Kamala's crowd sizes? Like, is this the kind of stuff that's going to win you the presidency?
I had 107,000 people in New Jersey. You didn't report it. I'm so glad you asked. What did she have yesterday, 2,000 people? If I ever had 2,000 people, you'd say my campaign is finished. It's so dishonest, the press. And here's a great example. I had, in Michigan recently, 25,000 people, and 25,000 people were just, we just couldn't get them in. We had in Harrisburg 25,000 people, and 20,000 people couldn't get in. We had so many, nobody ever mentions that. When she gets 1,500 people, and I saw it yesterday on ABC, which they said, oh, the crowd was so big. I have 10 times, 20 times, 30 times the crowd size, and no, they never say the crowd was big. That's why I'm always saying turn around the cameras.
Yeah, the media bias is a real issue, but the crowd size obsession is not. And this is not me saying that, that Trump is being terrible or anything like that. The point is, when Trump is well-directed, when he directs himself, he is an absolute weapon. And that's what he needs to be in this campaign, because this is too close. She cannot become president because of failures by the Trump Vance campaign. That can't be a thing. No mistakes here on in. That's the kind of campaign that he needs to run, because Kamala is a target-rich environment. She is, in fact, warm toward socialism. Here she was yesterday talking about believing in the collective.
We believe in the collective. We're not falling for these folks who are trying to divide us, trying to separate us,
believe in the collective.
Trying to pull us apart. That's not where the strength lies.
The collective. The strength is in the collective. I mean, just say it out loud, lady. And meanwhile, she's running away from her own record on everything. Yesterday at a rally, she was like, I'll fight inflation day one. Well, I noticed that it is day 1,297 of you being vice president, and you haven't done a damn thing about inflation.
You know, when I was attorney general, I went after price-fixing schemes. And when I am president, it will be a day one priority to fight to bring down prices. I will take on big corporations that engage in illegal price gouging. I will take on corporate landlords that unfairly raise rents on working families. I will take on big pharma and cap the cost of prescription drugs for all Americans.
Rent and price controls. And cracking down on all the R&D, that's her plan. On day one, by the way, she's not been vice president. Did you know that? She's not been anywhere. But she's also responsible for every decision that Joe Biden has made. But she simultaneously is responsible for none of those decisions, which is pretty incredible. It's an incredible feat. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrade. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
All right, coming up, Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz is a complete mess of a human being and candidate. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's back to school time with Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson. Memory Lane features timeless decor for the home or office, study or dorm, with a variety of books to choose from, including old encyclopedia sets and classic novels, along with sports memorabilia. Memory Lane also offers vintage clothing, college collectibles and gear, classic lunchboxes, porcelain dolls, tin toys, and stuffed animals. You'll also find antique and upcycled furniture, including desks and dressers, and fusion paint and supplies for the do-it-yourselfer. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles features costume to classic jewelry, including necklaces, earrings, bracelets, anklets, and rings in a variety of styles and colors to choose from. They also feature a distinct Amish collection of items and gifts, Open Monday 10 to 6, close Tuesday and Wednesday. Open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday open noon to 5. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage and Collectible at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Tony and Audrey were married for over 20 years. Then, they weren't. But when their paths once again collide as they attempt to figure out who gets what from their old cottage, old tensions flare up, not helped by the arrival of their devious daughter. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Moment of Weakness, an incredibly British comedy written by Donald Churchill, directed by Andrew Gibson. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net and sponsored by Reading Cultural District, this station, and other pro-arts businesses.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Reading's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Ex professional.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Kamala Harris was counting on Tim Walz to shore her up in the blue states. I'm not sure that's going to go well in those blue wall states. The Tim Walz problems are still percolating, and there are no answers. He's gone too. So Kamala Harris is hoping that Tim Walz can prop up that blue wall, apparently. That's going to be hard when he is still not responding to stolen valor allegations. According to MSNBC, the Harris campaign won't even respond to these allegations. They're not even responding to the fact that apparently he bragged for years about being in Iraq and Afghanistan. And according to his fellow soldiers, he abandoned his battalion as soon as he found out they were headed to Iraq so he could run for Congress instead. Here's MSNBC. No, we've got no comment, none.
They are not specifically saying whether or not he misrepresented his time. They're not really engaging specifically on the idea of whether or not, as the Trump campaign is saying, that he lied about this, but they are saying, here's what he did say. So it's interesting to see the campaign respond, the Harris campaign respond in this way. They've been fast about responding. They've been very clear and engaging when it comes to reporters on this, though we still have a question of whether or not he misspoke in that specific moment or whether or not this was sort of something that he did that was a falsehood.
Oh, well, you mean he lied? Is that what you mean, Michelle Sindor is saying that he lied? Is this something that he did that was a falsehood? Funny way of saying lied. Van Jones, again, the only honest man in left-wing media, he slammed the Harris campaign on Walz's military issues.
It's conceivable that he's been loose with his language or said stuff that doesn't, that's not, I mean, people are human beings on these campaign trails. And so, but now he's running for a major position. If he needs to clean it up, clean it up. The reality is, if he said one or two things or said some things that turned out to be maybe a little bit too sloppy, fix it. Because he's got a gazillion people who are willing to stand up for his character. He's got gay students who are willing to stand up for his character. He's got people he served with willing to stand up for his character. If this comes down to a character contest between this ticket and Donald Trump, we're going to win 50 states. So let's just get this cleaned up and move on.
Okay, but they can't clean it up and they can't move on because he lied. And he's been lying about his career the whole time. And she introduced him in front of the entire American public as a head coach of a football team. He was an assistant coach. He's been introduced to the American public as a war veteran. He was never in a war zone. That's his problem, okay? Like, if he said he's in a war zone, that's a him problem. He's the one. He's been fibbing about that for literally years. There's a picture of him from 2004 saying enduring freedom veterans against Bush. He had not served in a combat zone enduring freedom. Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The good news is, again, their Praetorian Guard will come to their defense. Here is CNN's Brianna Keeler attacking J.D. Vance's military service. J.D. Vance actually was in a war zone.
J.D. Vance, as a messenger on this, may be an imperfect messenger because we have, as you introduced him, as a combat correspondent, which was what his title was. But when you dig a little deeper into that, he was a public affairs specialist, someone who did not see combat, which certainly the title combat correspondent kind of gives you a different impression.
No, that is not what that means at all. I love that the media immediately shifts into attacking J.D. Vance when Tim Walz is the one who's been fibbing about where he served. Amidst all of this, things continue to not be good on the planet Earth, where Kamala Harris is the current sitting vice president and maybe the acting president, because again, Joe Biden is no longer with us. That's the amazing. Can I just explain how crazy this is? That the president of the United States, the most powerful person in the world today, which means literally by military statistics, the most powerful person in world history, is non compos mentis. We don't know where he is or what he is doing. He can't speak out of his face hole and his brain doesn't work most of the hours of the day. And we're supposed to be completely sanguine, not only about that, but about the fact that his vice president is on the campaign trail answering no questions about what she is currently doing in the White House or how she plans to run things if made president of the United States. This is all crazy towns. It's crazy. Where is the president? Where is the vice president? These are all empty suits. The system is running things. There is a system that is running things. And that system continues to run these things and run them incredibly poorly. Meanwhile, there's still the threat of burgeoning war in the Middle East. Iran continues every single night to threaten Israel. Now, they haven't done so because they understand that if they actually go too far, Israel will obliterate their nuclear program and their oil fields. And so they're being quite careful about this. One of the weird side effects of the horror show that has been the Biden-Harris administration is that America's allies are now beginning to realize they cannot count on America, and they're going about their business kind of on their own. Right? Israel has decided it's just going to kill its enemies now, and it's not going to listen to the weird mumblings of Joe Biden, which is why they knocked off Ismail Haniyeh, the political leader of Hamas, as well as the number two in Hezbollah. And they made very clear to the Lebanese government that if Hezbollah starts shooting off thousands of rockets into Israel and targeting Israeli cities, that the Beirut airport will be inoperative the first hour. The electrical grid will be operative. Will be inoperative that same exact hour. That basically all of Lebanon will be shut down. Israel has made that perfectly clear. The Biden administration, fearing exactly that, has now gone and done the right thing and told Iran, if you do this, things are going to be very bad for you because we can't keep Israel on the chain. Well, you know what would have been nice is if they had done this from the beginning. This entire war would have been over in March if the Biden administration did not intervene on behalf of the Iranians. Pretty incredible work there by Biden-Harris. Meanwhile, over in Ukraine, the Ukrainians are saying, we're not going to wait around for the United States to get its ass in gear. According to the Washington Post, Ukrainian troops battled for a Thursday in Russia's Kursk region, occupying villages and part of a town in what has become the Western-backed military's largest cross-border incursion since the Kremlin invasion in 2022. U.S., Ukrainian, and Russian officials all acknowledged the ongoing attack, which stunned Moscow and appeared to involve the use of armored fighting vehicles donated to Kyiv by the United States and its European partners. A development that drew no immediate objection from the Biden administration despite its past restrictions on such use of American weaponry. It looks very much as though the Ukrainians were like, you know what, we're going to do what we got to do, and if you don't like it, tough. And you know what, good for them. Because the fact is that the United States has been a horrifyingly bad ally to most of its allies all over the world during the Biden-Harris administration. But no questions for Joe Biden, and no questions for Kamala Harris. That's the important thing. They must never be forced to answer a single question at any point. But one piece of good news here. We talked about this yesterday. It was breaking news after the show. But we've talked on the show about Global Alliance for Responsible Media. You'll remember that I testified before Congress about the Global Alliance for Responsible Media. It's effectively a third-party censorship group. All of the advertising agencies, 90% of all advertising dollars, made themselves subject to GARM standards. GARM standards were subjective standards whereby effectively all left-wing programming was deemed advertiser safe and all right-wing programming was deemed advertiser unfriendly. Well, now GARM has shut down. We exposed them, the House Judiciary Committee. We hear at Daily Wire, Elon Musk, Rumble, which threatened to sue them. Everyone came together to fight, and GARM is no more. According to the New York Times, an influential advertising industry group said it would shut down after being sued this week by X, Elon Musk's social media company. GARM told its members it would cease operations 2 days after Musk accused the group of orchestrating a boycott against X. While the World Federation of Advertisers denied that Garm's work had run afoul of the law, it said the nonprofit did not have the financial resources to continue operating while it fights X in court. Now, the reality is what happened here is that Garm was humiliated. Its advertising partners were humiliated because it turns out that most people aren't real fond of advertisers boycotting one side of the aisle. It makes them a little annoyed. We're very proud of that particular victory. It is good for the country. All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Republicans say high inflation and a horrible economy will hinder Kamala Harris's prospects for election in November.
Conservative author Guy Benson argues that Harris is avoiding talking about the economy at all costs. After all, she cast a deciding vote on a Democrat bill that added trillions in new spending on the backs of working American taxpayers and drove up costs enough to force lifestyle changes on many families. Former President Trump sees connecting Harris to so-called Bidenomics as an effective strategy. He was quick to label this week's sell-off on Wall Street the Kamala crash. Bob Agnew reporting.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott signs an executive order requiring hospitals to collect data on the health care cost of illegal immigrants treated in the state.
The order will mean that the Texas Health and Human Services Commission, or HHCS, must, quote, assess costs to the Texas public hospital system imposed by the federal government's open border policies. Abbott said in a statement, quote, Texans should not have to shoulder the burden of financially supporting medical care for illegal immigrants. Healthcare officials who treat undocumented migrants will be forced to collect and send information on those patients' citizenship status to the state, according to the executive order that Abbott signed Thursday. HHCS will direct healthcare providers to collect costs associated with care for undocumented migrants beginning on November 1st. The state government will require quarterly reports on the costs, with annual reports directed to the governor's office. Bernie Bennett reporting.
FDA is approving the first needle-free alternative to the EpiPen. It's a single-use nasal spray to treat allergic reactions in emergencies. It's called Neffy from ARS Pharmaceuticals, and it can be used in adults and some children. The FDA says this may alleviate the fear of injections, making Neffy an important treatment option. At least 40 Olympic athletes in Paris get COVID, but those who test positive still competing. More at townhall.com.
What? Anyone with everyday aches and pains, I've got a question. What are you missing out on? Probably a lot. So let me tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. It doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or even eliminate it. In about 3 weeks, you'll discover what it's like to feel better. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF.
What does it take for organizations to triumph? It takes trust. But trust is getting harder and harder to gain, which is why over 2,700 organizations display the ECFA seal. The ECFA seal gives your organization the third-party credibility that people are literally looking for. And in turn, an estimated 14 million givers support ECFA-accredited organizations. Let us help you maintain a trusted reputation as you reach the world for Christ. Visit ecfa.org/triumph to learn more.
The White House is denouncing the comments of an Israeli official who opposes a hostage and ceasefire deal with terror group Hamas. White House correspondent Greg Clugston has more.
Israeli Finance Minister Smotrich does not support the deal being pushed by the United States and mediators from Egypt and Qatar. He said it amounts to surrender. At the White House, National Security spokesman John Kirby didn't hide his disgust with the Israeli official.
A study suggests a common low-calorie sweetener may be riskier for the body than sugar. A Cleveland Clinic trial tested how erythritol affects the cardiovascular system compared with sugar. Researchers found people who drank glasses of water with it had an increased likelihood of blood clotting than those who drank the normal sugar drink. News and analysis at townhall.com. Well, stocks ended the week with positive numbers. The union that represents the train engineers says Union Pacific is holding back on its promises to make their schedules more predictable. These quality of life concerns nearly caused a nationwide rail strike 2 years ago. Also, at townhall.com, August 2024 marks the 10-year anniversary of ISIS takeover of Iraq, during which thousands of Christians and other people from non-Muslim communities were killed in the city of Mosul and the surrounding areas. Iraq's Assyrian Christians, who belong to a native Mesopotamian community consisting of early converts of Eastern Orthodoxy, suffered greatly. In Mosul, ISIS marked Christian homes and either killed those inside or drove them out. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, the UK is in the midst of a full-scale crackdown on free speech. The U.S. might be next. We'll talk about it. Also, unmarried women are more liberal than they've ever been as the political gender divide grows deeper. Why is that happening, and what can we do about it? Cori Bush lashes out in a typically unhinged way after losing her primary. Now I'm venturing into one of the darkest and most depressing corners of the Internet to see if maybe I can shed a little bit of light there. We'll talk about all that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. When several children were stabbed to death while attending a Taylor Swift-themed dance class in the UK late last month, British politicians and media outlets immediately went to great lengths to absolve themselves of any responsibility. They declared that decades of unrestricted mass migration couldn't possibly be the reason that three young girls were dead and many more were critically injured. The fact that the alleged killer was born in Britain to Rwandan parents who somehow ended up in Britain, the government insisted, was completely irrelevant. Only far-right extremists would say otherwise. As I outlined earlier this week, British politicians threatened to arrest those far-right extremists for hate speech and misinformation. As protests and riots broke out all over the country, the government promised to punish anyone who suggested that maybe open borders were a bad idea. But the problem with punishing wrongthink is that it does nothing to address the underlying problem. You can throw every single right-wing commentator in the Tower of London for saying that mass migration has deadly consequences, and they'll still be right. And children will continue to be targeted because of the barbaric ideology that Europe's leaders have deliberately imported from the Third World. As if to prove that point, on Wednesday, authorities in Vienna arrested two suspects who were planning a terrorist attack at Taylor Swift's concerts that were originally scheduled for this weekend. Concerts have been canceled, apparently because the threat remains high. One of the suspects is reportedly 19 years old and pledged allegiance to ISIS. The police are apparently looking for at least one additional suspect. Bomb-making materials are involved, and beyond that, we're not sure exactly who these suspects are at the moment because the authorities won't say. Watch.
We have some breaking news for you. Austrian police say they have arrested two people suspected of planning an attack at a Taylor Swift concert in Vienna, Austria. Officials say a 19-year-old suspect made, quote, concrete preparatory acts for a terrorist attack. Swift has concerts scheduled in Vienna Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night.
You know, according to German police, at least one of the suspects was a 19-year-old who was radicalized and joined ISIS via the internet. And when they took him into custody, they found substances of chemicals that could possibly be used to make bombs. However, that is something that they are looking into. Vienna has a track record of being something of a breeding ground, or at least it has a track record record of having inspired young people to join ISIS, even go and join the Islamic State.
So according to that report, Vienna now has a track record of being a breeding ground for the Islamic State. What's not stated in that news report is what could possibly explain this troubling rise in terrorist incidents in a place like Austria. It is a country that used to be known as the birthplace of classical music and strong coffee, and now they're a breeding ground for ISIS? How did that happen? What got into all these Austrians? It's a mystery wrapped in an enigma. What's unstated, of course, in that report is that an awful lot of foreign nationals have poured into Austria over the past few decades from countries like Montenegro, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Chechnya, Turkey, Somalia. And some of these immigrants are doing things that Austrians don't generally do. Just a few months ago, for example, a 14-year-old ISIS sympathizer from Montenegro was arrested in Austria with a knife and an axe that she allegedly planned to use in a terrorist attack. How did a 14-year-old terrorist from Montenegro get into Austria? Well, who knows? The media doesn't care. Reporters aren't even allowed to bring up any of this immigration stuff because it might lead people to conclude that more immigration isn't always a good thing, that maybe immigration isn't always an enriching thing for a country. In fact, in the UK, even suggesting that maybe immigration isn't always great can now land you in prison. Here's England's director of public prosecutions, a guy named Stephen Parkinson, and he wants Britons to know that if they so much as retweet anything that insults the foreign nationals who are living illegally in their country, then the full force of the law will descend on them. Watch.
The offence of incitement to racial hatred involves publishing or distributing material which is insulting or abusive, which is intended to or likely to start racial hatred. So if you retweet that, then you're republishing that, and then potentially you're committing that offence. And we do have dedicated police officers who are scouring social media. Their job is to look for this material and then follow up with identification arrests and so forth. So it's a really, really serious. People might think they're not doing anything harmful. They are, and the consequences will be visited upon them.
Consequences will be visited upon them. So, you know, you've got children being stabbed to death, but what they're worried about, they have a dedicated police officer scouring social media to find mean comments about immigrants. Now, aside from the accent and the language, it's a clip that might as well be from North Korea. Instead of having teams of police officers deporting some of the illegal aliens who are living in Britain, which would actually accomplish something productive, the British government is spending its time scouring Twitter looking for retweets they don't like. And apparently, even if you write, like, RTs are not endorsements in your bio, you're not going to be spared. If you retweet something that Keir Starmer thinks is naughty, you'll go to prison. The consequences will be visited upon you. Now, of course, Stephen Parkinson left the standard vague on purpose so that no one knows where the line is exactly. Take this quote from the New York Times, for example. More British Muslim men have joined ISIS and the Nusra Front than are serving in the British Armed Forces. We mentioned that yesterday on the show. But would a statement like that qualify as inciting racial hatred? It happens to be a factually true statement, as unbelievable and incredible as it may seem, that there are more British Muslims that are interested in joining terrorist groups than fighting for the British Armed Forces. But are you allowed to at least point that out? What if you point it out and don't even comment on it? What if you offer no commentary? You just say, here's a thing that's happening. Well, that might be against the law now because it may lead people to conclude that Britain's immigration policy isn't the best. So maybe you can't retweet that or say it. Nobody knows. It's a completely subjective standard that's clearly designed to terrify people into submission. They don't want to make people afraid to, they want to make people, they don't just want to make people afraid to speak their mind. They also want to make people afraid to agree with someone else who speaks their mind. So it's about terrifying you into silence. And also part of terrifying you into silence is letting you know that you'll be isolated. That if you go out on a limb and you say something that the authorities don't like, not only are they going to come after you, but other people are not allowed to even agree with you or amplify what you said. So you're going to be alone on an island. That's the idea. They're going several layers deep in order to censor dissent, as all illegitimate regimes do. Pretty soon they'll be rounding up the family members of anyone who likes a tweet criticizing Keir Starmer. Now, if this were happening in any other third world country, the State Department would immediately condemn this as a flagrant abuse of human rights. The UN Security Council would hold a meeting. We might even invade so that we can spread freedom and democracy. We'd find like rebel groups that want to take over the government. We'd give them money and guns to do it. But because Britain is a supposedly already a first world country, and also because they sit on the Security Council, no one says anything. Britain, like Canada, has descended very sharply and very quickly into totalitarianism. The government can tolerate the murder of children. It can't tolerate criticism or even retweets of criticism. The rapid collapse of both Britain and Canada raises the obvious question of whether and when a similar collapse might happen here. And there's one clear indication that it might come sooner than we think. Yesterday, I spoke at length about Tim Walz, who's repeatedly lied about his military service record. His lies have been exposed, for the most part, because of free and open discussion on social media. And there's no doubt that if he gets into the White House, Tim Walz will do everything he can to shut down those discussions. He said as much in 2022 during an interview with MSNBC. Listen.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy. Well, that line by itself should have disqualified Tim Walz from getting anywhere near the vice presidential shortlist. It should have disqualified him from continuing to serve in the government of Minnesota in any capacity. In a serious country, he would be impeached and removed from office for saying that. But Tim Walz was not impeached. He didn't suffer any consequences whatsoever. He was barely even criticized. On some corners of the internet, people reacted to that footage by, you know, saying that Tim Walz must have failed high school civics, that sort of thing, but that's actually not what the clip shows. We can assume that Tim Walz knows that the First Amendment protects misinformation and hate speech and even criticisms of democracy, whatever those things mean. Which, by the way, if you're saying First Amendment does not protect your right to engage in hate speech against democracy, what does that mean? He means the government. So he just pretty explicitly said that you do not have the First Amendment right to criticize the government. Now, in fact, if the First Amendment does not protect so-called hate speech and so-called misinformation, then it doesn't protect anything. After all, something is labeled misinformation if some people, especially powerful people, claim that it's untrue or inaccurate. And something is labeled hate speech if some people, especially powerful people, claim that it's morally repugnant and offensive. So if the First Amendment does not cover misinformation and hate speech, that means that we're free to say anything we want, as long as it's not something that powerful people consider wrong, inaccurate, offensive, or outrageous. Which is to say, we don't have free speech, or anything approaching free speech. If we only have free speech up to the point when powerful people don't like it, then there's no free speech. Or at the very least, that is a level of free speech that you can find in North Korea, or Iran, or any of those places. Now, Tim Walz knows this. He's not the smartest guy, but he's smart enough to understand the basic principle here. So the real takeaway then is that he just doesn't care. He understands that the First Amendment is just words on paper. The Soviet Union had a constitution guaranteeing free speech. Canada and the UK have charters that supposedly protect freedom of expression. But the constitution and charters, they don't matter if nobody cares about what they say. These are not self-enforcing things. They have to actually be enforced actively. And if they're not, they may as well not exist. This is the trajectory that we're on. A decade ago, nobody in the UK would have thought that the police would ever show up at their door because they retweeted someone else's political commentary. And now that's the reality of living in Britain. The insidious thing about this kind of censorship is that by the time it takes hold, it's too late to actually do anything about it. Protesters inevitably turn to violence, which in turn leads to more censorship and more crackdowns. This is the cycle that leads to a country so unstable and so dangerous that it can't even host a Taylor Swift concert anymore. So reasonable people look to Europe then as a cautionary tale. But people like Tim Walz and Kamala Harris see it as a blueprint. We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Wildfire season is upon us. Being prepared saves lives. Develop and practice an evacuation plan with your household. Stay informed about local fire conditions and follow evacuation orders if issued. Know your evacuation zone. Go to ShastCom911.com. Click on Be Prepared, Know Your Zone. Type in your address and write it down in case of emergency. You can also sign up for Alert Shasta at ShastCom911.com.
Get down the light. Get down the light. Get down the light.
Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
The Reading Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, The Craft of Fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show.
So Daily Caller has a little bit more information about the Democrat running mate, Tim Walz. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz attends a church that preaches beliefs related to gender, race, and sexuality that many Christian denominations strongly oppose. Walz, who's governor of Minnesota, identified Pilgrim Lutheran Church in St. Paul as his parish during a 2020 briefing on the COVID-19 pandemic. Materials published by Pilgrim Lutheran Church instruct parishioners not to refer to God using male pronouns, push congregants to support reparation funds, encourage them to celebrate Ramadan, and include a modified gender-neutral version of the Lord's Prayer, among other liberal practices. Pilgrim Lutheran Church is part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, a mainline Protestant denomination that's been criticized by some conservative Christians for ordaining transgender and lesbian bishops, as well as for its embrace of LGBT ideology. Criticized by conservative Christians, yes, but criticized by anyone. If you're a Christian in general, then you would be critical of these sorts of things that are, because this is not Christianity. This is heresy. Pilgrim Lutheran Church in 2015 approved guidelines for language in worship, wherein the congregation asserted that a patriarchal culture gave birth to the writing of scripture and the selection of the canon. And to rectify the purported injustice, committed to using gender neutral language to describe God. Members of the church, for instance, are encouraged to use non-anthropomorphic language like hen or baker to refer to God, and urge not to limit these by following them by with male or female pronouns. The guidelines instruct parishioners to refer to God using titles that signal actions but don't imply gender, like advocate or healer. Walls Church also uses a modified version of the Lord's Prayer, beginning with our guardian, our mother, our father in heaven, instead of our father who art in heaven, of course, which is the actual prayer. All right, so this is he attends a church that, not really a church, but more of a far-left social club. One of these churches that's just like cartoonishly liberal. A church that I guarantee you is dead, by the way. Like if you went into one of these places, all of these churches are dead. If you drive by a church and you see a rainbow flag hanging outside, that tells you two things. Number one, it's not a real church. It can't be a real church. You cannot be a real church and fly a rainbow flag and subscribe to LGBT ideology. But the second thing it tells you is that the church is dead. If you went in on Sunday, you'd find like six people, and only old lesbians and closeted gay men attend these kinds of churches. And I'm telling you, I mean that sincerely. It's just my observation. It's not even meant as an insult. It's just a fact. It's probably not fair. I mean, it's not just old lesbians and closeted gay men. It's also gay men who are not closeted who go to these churches. But that's it. I mean, it's lesbian or gay over the age of 55, and that's the entire congregation at these kinds of places. So, what am I saying then about Tim Walz? Well, I'm not saying anything. I cannot officially accuse Tim Walz of being gay. I can't do that. I can't do that. I couldn't say that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he goes to a church that says God is non-binary. He's been hyper-focused on trans and gay issues during his political career. He's very passionate about making sure that little boys and girls can get gender transitions. He invited a cross-dressing man to perform at the Minnesota State Capitol. He makes sure that the boys' bathroom in fourth grade in elementary school is stocked with tampons. He was the faculty advisor in the 90s at his public school's gay club, the Gay Alliance or whatever it was. So, you know, what does that all add up to? You do the math on that. I can't do the math. I'm not good at math. And I don't have a calculator on me, so I can't do the math. I'm just telling you what all the factors are. Oh, and Walz also shakes his wife's hand as a greeting. Do we have that? Let's play that clip. I think we have that. All right. Let's play that again. So let's make sure we saw that. The handshake. Hey, wait a second. Wait, I've been so focused on the handshake, I didn't even look to the left. Like, play it one more time. Look at Kamala Harris's husband. What was that? He has this little tremor of, like, disgust before he goes to kiss his wife. What? And these are the people that call us weird. So you can't even, you're supposed to, yeah. So you got Doug Emhoff here dancing the hokey pokey. I don't know what he's doing. Then you got these two over here shaking hands. I don't know. Very normal stuff, right? Super normal. Who greets their wife that way? Good evening, ma'am. I'm Tim Walz, your husband. Good evening. Hello. Nice to see you again. How have you been? This dude got friend-zoned by his own wife. How does that happen? Well, I know one way it could happen, but I'm not saying that. So between these two couples, have you ever seen married people who give off more of a we sleep in separate bedrooms vibe than these four up here? Well, Bill and Hillary, obviously. But even Bill and Hillary seemed more authentically married than Doug and Kamala or Tim and his wife. Because Bill and Hillary, they have a vibe. Like, the vibe is that they hate each other. Which is, I mean, that's not the healthiest marital dynamic. Don't get me wrong. I don't recommend it. But at least there's some kind of feeling there. Like, that is there are married couples who hate each other. But these people, these two couples, like, they come off like they've never even had a conversation with each other. Have they ever even been in the same room when they're not on camera? Anyway. What are we supposed to be talking about? Oh, yeah, Walz's gay church, or just church. Church with a lot of gayness, incidentally. And there's probably no point in, you know, picking apart the specifics here and trying to refute or debunk any of the, you know, heretical beliefs of this church. I mean, this is a church where they celebrate Ramadan. They rewrote the Lord's Prayer, even though Jesus Christ himself gives us the words of the Lord's Prayer and tells us to pray it exactly as he says it. Not going to use male pronouns for God, even though that's what's in the Bible. God even, you know, if we're supposed to respect self-identification, well, God himself self-identifies by the male pronouns. Jesus refers to God the Father as God the Father. So this is all totally unjustifiable, but, you know, these are, that's why I say this is not, I don't even just mean it as like an accusation or something when I say this is not real Christianity. It just isn't. Like, it's not actually Christianity. There's nothing about it. Again, if you went to one of these churches, aside from the fact that there's nobody there and everyone is elderly and gay, what they're talking about bears no resemblance to Christianity whatsoever. The only thing that is Christian about it is that the building they go to, they call a church. And often the building, at least architecturally, will look like a church. But that's it. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Not alone.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. You know, sometimes on this show, I like to read questions and quandaries from the clueless souls on the internet, especially Reddit, and try my best to provide them with a little bit of guidance. And that was a plan, the plan that I had for this segment, but then my producer, McKenna, suggested that for these purposes, I go to the subreddit called Regretful Parents to find some fodder for the segment. And I did as she recommended, and I can report that it is one of the most depressing places I've ever encountered on the internet, which is obviously saying a lot. This is a forum, as the name suggests, of parents who regret becoming parents. Just post after post after post of parents who view their children as nothing but a burden. Talk about their kids like a person might talk about head lice or tapeworms. Their children are parasites in their eyes. This doesn't appear to be the attitude of every person who posts on the forum, some of whom are dealing with truly tragic personal situations, but it is the attitude of some of them, probably most of them. So at first I was, you know, I read all this and I thought, well, and I spent way too much, I went down a kind of a doom spiral of reading all these posts on this forum. And I thought, well, I'm not going to attempt to talk about this on the show. It's just, it's so bleak and so horrific. But then I decided that maybe I might have a useful thing or two to say to these people. After all, there's a reason why this is such a popular and active forum. Sadly, a sizable number of parents feel this way. We like to think that, well, no one ever regrets having kids. Actually, they do sometimes. And when that happens, it is a terrible thing. Terrible for the kids, most importantly. And it's enough of a problem, and I would guess, anecdotally, just a growing problem in this country that it's certainly worth addressing. So this isn't really going to be a daily cancellation. The subject itself doesn't quite lend itself to that. So the cancellation is canceled just for today so that we could talk about this. So I'm going to start by reading a few of the posts or snippets of posts on this forum, and then I want to offer a few thoughts. So here we go. One post says, I hate mothering. I enjoy maybe 1% of it. It's given me misery on top of misery on top of pain every single day since she was born. Giving birth was medieval torture. I don't like playing with her. I don't like talking to her. I don't like taking her to the park. I can barely think about anything I enjoy with her. Maybe cooking for her. I don't even know. Another says, my kids are 1 and 3 and they took away everything I enjoyed. I'm going through the wildest mental and physical challenges of my life. I had goals and dreams that are not realistic anymore. All my favorite activities are replaced by draining micro tasks, and it's grinding me to my knees every day. Someone else says, if I only knew that there this subreddit existed, I probably could have avoided the biggest regret of my life, which is becoming a mother. I feel so tied up. I want to get education. I want to work and travel. I want to live again and fall in love with life again. I used to travel a lot back in my early 20s. I always took part in some exchange programs in Europe and got to see a lot. I met amazing people. My son's about to be 3 and I'm just not having it. I've been contemplating just leaving them and starting my life somewhere else. Another one says, I keep my patience and my rage in check all day by repeating bedtime is only hours away. Bedtime is only hours away in my head. When it's past bedtime and they're still up, I tend to lose my, it's like I put up with them all day. Now can I please have some relief? If I had known autism apparently runs in my family, I honestly wouldn't have had kids at all. It's an energy and happiness suck. Nothing but misery and regret as far as the eye can see. Then things get even darker, if you can believe it. Another post says, I hate my children, both of them. They're 2 and 1, and I hate every single second they're awake. I can't sleep peacefully. I can't eat. I can't even take it peacefully. I'm tired of this life. I'm the only one with them 24/7. I'm so sick of it. My partner is useless. All he says is they're babies and something's wrong with me. How could I dislike my own children? I haven't had one happy day in 2 damn years. Specifically, my oldest, my daughter, every single thing she does, constantly stressed, constantly screaming for her to stop touching things. I'm so tired of this. Oh, my God, I wish I could turn back time and not have any of them. I wish I had never met their father. In a similar vein, someone says, my daughter just turned 5, and I was already regretful about having her and having no love for her. We treat her well, and I say I love her and all that jazz to not mess up her childhood, but she has now been diagnosed with selective mutism, which is a type of anxiety disorder where she can't speak in public or to anyone outside her immediate family. Her teacher says she doesn't speak a word at school, and her peers keep asking her why she doesn't talk. I already hated life as a parent. Now I have to deal with psychologist appointments. What a joke of a life I've gotten myself into. And someone with an older kid says that my son is 11 and I still regret it every day. He's boring, annoying, rude. I can't stand to be around him. I just want to live my life alone with friends. I'm counting down the days when he finally leaves my home. If I could afford boarding school, I would. It's school holidays, so this week I'm taking him to a water park, then football practice, then an air show. None of those things I personally enjoy. Only 7 years to go, and he's out of my house for good. These have mostly been mothers so far with these posts, but there are also some dads are on the forum. I'll read one of those just, you know, to be egalitarian about it. Just day after day after day, and it never ends and it never changes. Incessant bickering, screaming, slapping, kicking, biting, fighting over every possible tiny little thing. When all my attempts for diplomacy fail and I finally snap and yell at them to stop, they act absolutely shocked and hurt by how mean dad is, and it works. I end up feeling terrible and apologizing to them, and on and on and on it goes. My brain and nerves are completely shot. I don't understand how they seem to thrive in that level of dysfunction. I know kids are dramatic and all, but I know I was never like that as a kid. It's bonkers. Okay, so a lot of frustration there, to put it mildly. And I understand parenting frustration. I don't understand hating your kid or most of what we just read there, but, you know, frustration, sure. When you have, as we did, 2 sets of twins, 6 kids total, you experience frustration. Our last set of twins were both colicky as infants. And if you know anything about colic in an infant, you know that, well, we dealt with about 6 months of constant crying morning, noon, and night from 2 babies. While also having 4 other kids to take care of. And this was not that long ago. This was 1.5 years ago. So I'm not saying that that's the hardest parenting experience anyone's ever had, but it's definitely not entry-level stuff that we were dealing with. So I've been in the trenches, is what I'm saying. And therefore, I think I have some credibility to say the things that I'm going to say to all of these people and anyone who might find themselves relating to what I just read. And some of what I'm going to say will sound harsh. It will certainly not sound like anything that your therapist will probably tell you. And it's also not likely what your friends and family will say to you or have said to you. But I'm going to say it because I think it needs to be said, and it needs to be said for your sake and, more importantly, for the sake of your children. So 3 points, 3 pieces of advice. First, you know, a lot of parents who feel this level of anger and despair to the point of actually regretting having kids, it's at least partly because their kids are out of control and totally unruly. That's not what's happening in all of these cases, but in some of them, in particular that last one that I read. The kids are running the house, bouncing off the walls, ruling the roost, and you're at wit's end. Well, here's the good news about that. And it will sound like bad news, but it's actually good news, is that it's your fault. It's totally your fault. You are 100% to blame. Your kids are out of control because you are out of control. And I don't mean that you're yelling and screaming and losing your temper, though you might be. But even when you have your temper in check, you're still being ruled by your emotions. You are, I'm going to assume, angry, sullen, visibly overwhelmed, overcome by frustration, and so on and so on. And then maybe giving yourself credit, because although you feel that way and you're coming off that way, at least you're not yelling. Well, the problem is that your kids pick up on that. They see it. And it's not just that they're imitating your lack of emotional regulation, though they are. More importantly, they see that you are projecting a lack of control, a loss of command, and they lose respect for you and your rules as a result. And that's natural. When a leader seems flustered, his followers become disturbed. And if this state of being flustered continues or happens over and over again, eventually they lose faith in his ability to lead. People listen to my show know that I'm kind of a nerd about reading stories of explorers. And sometimes in these stories, something that happens are mutinies. And very often a mutiny happens because you've got a ship full of men in some uncharted part of the world. And if the men on the ship, whose lives depend on the captain, if they perceive the captain doesn't know what he's doing, is afraid, is frustrated, indecisive, overwhelmed by the responsibility that he has taken on, if the men on the ship notice that, if they perceive it, they lose faith in his leadership, and then there's a mutiny. So what's happening in some of these households is your kids are, it's a mutiny. They're staging a mutiny, although their reasons behind it are mostly unconscious, for the kids anyway. Now, what makes this good news is that it's very fixable. All you have to do is put on a convincing front. Fake it till you make it, as some very wise philosopher once said. Project the appearance of being in control, of being in command, of being unbothered, of being unflustered, happy, good-humored. You don't have to feel that way. Just pretend that you feel that way. And yes, it is a virtue to fake it in those cases. This idea that we should never, we need to be true to ourselves and be honest about our emotions. No, you shouldn't be. In fact, you should not be honest about your emotions most of the time. Like, most of what you're feeling should not be known to the people around you. And especially when you're a parent. Just pretend. And you combine that attitude, or the appearance of that attitude, with consistent guidelines, clear rules, and clear consequences for breaking the rules, and you'll no longer have this level of dysfunction in your home. Your children will not be in a constant state of war with each other and you. And you may be able to enjoy their company and your own life as a consequence. Second, happiness is a matter of focus. Happy people focus on the aspects of things that make them happy. Unhappy people focus on the aspects that make them unhappy. That seems so basic that it doesn't even need to be said, but it's a basic thing that we often lose sight of. And this especially applies to parenting. If you're an unhappy parent, it's because you're choosing to focus on all of the things that you want to do but can't because you have kids, and the things that you have to do but don't want to do. For the people who wrote these laments that I just read, this focus for them has become obsessive. All they can think about is the stuff they don't want to have to do, but they have to do. And the stuff that they would prefer to do, but they can't do. And so they're just whining all the time in their heads and now on Reddit. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it anymore. This is hard. I don't want to have to do these things. I want to travel. Look, it's a choice that you have made to focus your attention on those things. There are so many things in life you could focus on, and you decided to focus on the fact that you can't travel to Europe or whatever. So your unhappiness is a choice. You've decided to be miserable and wallow in your misery. And you could stay there forever, wallowing in it, if you want. Plenty of people do. And then you'll be unhappy and miserable your whole life. In the process, you'll alienate everybody around you. Your kids will grow to resent you and want nothing to do with you. And then they'll get older and they'll be adults and they won't be as difficult anymore. And you're going to want to have a relationship with them at that point, because it's easy now because they're out of the house and they're going to have grandkids, and you're going to want to see the grandkids because grandkids are easy. But your kids are not going to want to have that relationship. And you're going to spend the rest of your life feeling victimized. Oh, my kids ignore me. They don't come over. They don't bring the grandkids over. Why should they? You were awful to them. You did the bare minimum their whole childhood. You put no effort in. Like, you fed them and clothed them. You have to do that. But you had a bad attitude about it the entire time. You made the home an excruciating environment for them to live in. You spent the whole time whining. Why the hell would they want a relationship with you? A relationship with who? There's no relationship here. Sorry. Your chance to build that is over. Guess what? So that's how it can go if you choose that. The only person who can choose otherwise is you. The only person who can fix the problem is you. Nobody else can. Your kids certainly can't. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Oh. The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states. This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, were a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-894-6680. That's 800-894-6680. Again, 800-894-6680.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Now, I've never felt like I regretted being a parent, nor have I ever had feelings of hatred towards my children, for God's sake, but I have experienced anger, frustration, sadness as a parent. I have thrown plenty of pity parties for myself, like any parent does, because my parenting duties require me to do stuff I don't want to do and don't allow me to do the stuff that I do want to do. So I get that. Like, I've been there. And I found that the way out of it is pretty simple. It's just about redirecting my attention. I can choose to redirect it or not. It really is up to me. So here's a relatable example, one that is millions of parents encounter something like this every day. So I get home from work most days around 5:30 or 6. And contrary to popular opinion, I actually work long days, and I work hard, believe it or not. Media is a stressful gig, if you can believe it. And then I sit in traffic for 45 minutes. You know, it's not that bad. A lot of people sit in traffic for longer, but still 45 minutes in traffic. And then I come home to a house full of kids who are talkative and needy and wanting my attention. So every time I walk in the door every day, I have a choice to make. And it's a very distinct choice. It's so distinct that it may as well be two different doors I'm walking. There's the happy door or the annoyed, overwhelmed, sad door. I'm either a stressed out, sad sack forced to come home to a noisy house with a bunch of needy kids who won't give me a chance to decompress, damn it. Or I'm an incredibly blessed man, privileged to come home each night to a lively home full of fun, rambunctious children and a wife who loves me. I could be either one of those. It's completely up to me. And the thing is, when I walk in the door, the environment, what I'm walking into, is the same. It is entirely up to me how I choose to perceive it, how I choose to see it. And if I choose the sad, miserable door, I have no one to blame but myself. Third, my third point is stop, and this goes to really, this is advice, universal advice for everybody. Stop venting. Okay? You've done enough venting. And I know everybody says that we have to vent. We have to release our tension in the form of these self-pitying, overly dramatic sessions. And if we don't, we'll explode or something. But that's bull. Stop venting. It's unhealthy. Forums like this Reddit forum, they should not exist. These are awful places. Nothing good comes from them. Having a place to anonymously voice your darkest and most unspeakable emotions and thoughts in order to then be assured by other anonymous people that it's totally normal to feel that way and to be encouraged in your basest impulses and most dysfunctional modes of thought is bad. It's very bad. It's not good for you. Especially because all the people that are, and I read the comments under a lot of those posts that I just read, people giving their own advice, the advice is terrible. I mean, it's just awful. There was one post that I don't think I read of a woman whose her young son is about to be his birthday. And she's not happy about his birthday and not excited about it. Which again, it's like, okay, so you're not excited about his birthday. Deal with it. Like, it's his birthday, it's not yours. Pretend you're excited. Damn it, stop being selfish. But one of the pieces of advice that someone left, had a bunch of likes, upvotes, or whatever, was, on the day of his birthday party, just leave the house and have some time to yourself. Don't tell anyone, just leave. And come back at night. Like, this is your advice? It's the worst possible thing. Abandon your child on their birthday because you're sad? This is what you get from these forums. And the reason that you get it is because the people that are there leaving comments, they are not encouraging you or trying to reassure you. They're trying to reassure themselves. They're only there to make themselves feel better. They have these awful thoughts and feelings about their own family and their children, and they're trying to find a place where other people are saying the same things so that they can tell themselves it's not so terrible to feel this way. And so everybody, they're all just encouraging themselves in the form of encouraging other people to be the worst versions of themselves they can possibly be. Now, the truth is, I know we like to say that, there's no such thing as a wrong feeling and you should be honest about how you feel. Well, there is such thing as a wrong feeling. You shouldn't hate your children. It is wrong to have that emotion. It's possible to have wrong emotions. Yeah, and that's one of them. Like, it's bad to have, you shouldn't feel that way. There's something wrong with you, morally. It is morally wrong to have that feeling, actually. The level of anger expressed by most of these people is wrong. Having this kind of disdain for your family is wrong. Venting this kind of stuff doesn't get it off your chest. It doesn't work like that. It's not like opening a window in the bathroom to air out the smell. It's more like a gust of wind on a campfire. All it does is make the flame grow and spread until it's completely out of control. And next thing, your whole life is set on fire. And that's what these Reddit forums do. So what should you do if you have feelings like the lady who says that she doesn't like her 11-year-old son, can't wait for him to leave the house? Well, and by the way, speak for yourself. You call your 11-year-old son boring? Like, you're the boring one. Well, there's nothing more boring than a middle-aged woman who's like, oh, my life's hard. Like, that's, oh my God, that's boring. You're boring. That's boring as hell. And so what should you do? You shouldn't look for an anonymous group of fellow self-pitying whiners to unload that on. You should realize that this feeling is wrong. It's not normal. It's not okay to feel that way about your children. The problem is you. It's not your child. It's you.
Your children didn't do anything wrong. You are doing the wrong thing, and you need to fix it. So sure, go talk to a therapist if you can find a good one. Big if there, but if you can find a good one. Talk to a spiritual advisor, even better. Talk to a priest, talk to a pastor. But after all the talking, it comes back to you. You owe it to your child to give him your love. In fact, you owe it to your family to be happy. Happiness is a responsibility. And it is a choice. And right now you're making a choice that is destroying you and your family. And it will continue to until you stop making it. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. First responders launch high water rescues in rural New York and Pennsylvania due to flash flooding from the remnants of Debbie. The system was a post-tropical cyclone, dropping rain on parts of the Northeast and into New England Friday. National Weather Service meteorologist Frank Pera says remnants of Debbie should be gone by later this morning.
The center of the system is expected to work its way into the St. Lawrence Valley by this evening and continue to work but move further to the east along the St. Lawrence River into southeastern Canada. So as it does, the rainfall is expected to diminish as we move through the overnight, so that by this time tomorrow, things will be pretty dry across a good portion of the northeastern U.S.
Nine people have died as a result of the storm. Former President Trump's plane is forced to make an unscheduled landing Friday. The former president was on his way to a campaign rally in Bozeman, Montana, when his plane suffered a mechanical issue. The flight was diverted and landed in the town of Billings instead, about 2 hours from the venue. An airport worker confirmed the former president used a private jet to continue on to the rally. Kamala Harris continues to avoid questions from the news media.
In his first public appearance since the unveiling of the Harris-Walls Democratic ticket, Trump took questions from reporters for about an hour, something he said the vice president is unwilling to do.
She's not doing any news conference. You know why she's not doing it? Because she can't do a news conference. She doesn't know how to do a news conference. She's not smart enough to do a news conference.
Not long after Trump's news conference, Harris answered a few questions from reporters before boarding a plane in Michigan. And she said she hopes to schedule a major interview before the end of the month. Greg Clugston, Washington.
FDA approving the first needle-free alternative to the EpiPen. It's a single-use nasal spray to treat allergic reactions in emergencies. They're calling it Neffy. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If your Sleep Financial Group is not a law firm.
Are you a victim of the timeshare trap and think there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, the original timeshare cancellation expert. And I'm here to tell you that there is out. All you need to do is give my office a call. I will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free, explaining how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free info kit. 800-511-1551. 800-511-1551.
What does it take for organizations to triumph? It takes trust. But trust is getting harder and harder to gain, which is why over 2,700 organizations display the ECFA seal. The ECFA seal gives your organization the third-party credibility that people are literally looking for. And in turn, an estimated 14 million givers support ECFA-accredited organizations. Let us help you maintain a trusted reputation as you reach the world for Christ. Visit ecfa.org/triumph to learn more.
The annual Florida Python Challenge is underway. John Scott has more on the story.
It's a competition between hunters to capture the most and longest Burmese pythons. The 10-day hunt is meant to incentivize hunters to capture the invasive snakes in Florida to win prizes among a share of $30,000. But the grand prize winner with the most snakes humanely killed gets $10,000. The Florida Wildlife Commission aims to bring public awareness of the harms of this invasive species in Florida with this event. John Scott reporting.
To combat the freedom of speech, Venezuela's president is looking to ban the social media platform X for 10 days. It follows a public dispute between President Nicolas Maduro and owner Elon Musk over the election. Maduro claimed to win, but the U.S. said that he lost. He's accusing Musk of inciting hatred. Musk has accused him of major election fraud. News and analysis at townhall.com. California's governor is telling local governments to clean up the homeless encampments in their communities. Correspondent Donna Warder has more.
California Governor Gavin Newsom joined the California Department of Transportation Thursday to clear encampment sites in Los Angeles.
I'm here on behalf of 40 million Californians that are fed up. I'm here because I'm one of them. I want to see results.
Newsom says he'll start taking away funding from cities and counties that are not doing enough to move people out of encampments and into shelter. I'm Donna Warder.
A lawsuit by Elon Musk and his social media platform X causes a far-left group to shut down. Musk sued the Global Alliance for Responsible Media, also known as GARM, saying it was involved in illegal actions to boycott advertising on X. In a statement, they said that the lawsuit drained their resources. They're shutting down. The lawsuit was filed Tuesday. More at townhall.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Changes her mind because it'd be good for the American people, and I think it'd be good for you all if she actually ran a real campaign.
A real campaign? That'd ruin everything. You can't be running a real campaign. What is a real campaign anyway? It's probably a racist characterization. It sounds like the patriarchy offering their judgmentalism again. A real campaign? What do you mean by that? Oh, those wacky Democrats. That was J.D. Vance, of course, talking about Kamala. You know Kamala. Ba 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 ba. Ba da ba da ba da. It's Friday already. I can't believe that. How did that happen? Absolute madness loose on the planet once again. Kamala answered a couple of questions yesterday on a tarmac. I think it lasted just under 90 seconds. And did they ask her about her favorite ice cream, Jeff? Because usually they like to ask about favorite ice cream. They didn't get to the ice cream, so they really didn't get involved in all that. Did they ask her about her wanting to confiscate guns from people in a mandatory program? Did they ask her about that? They didn't ask her about that, did they? No. Did they ask her about the border? Did they ask her about her great success story on the border? They didn't ask her about that, did they? It's good to be a Democrat. Did they fluff her? Did they give her a tongue bath while she stood there on the tarmac? I think they did. From top to bottom, skipping any parts, I don't know. I don't know for sure. Quite remarkable. We have a great many absurdities to share because the Democrats are on the loose, aren't they? Yes, they are. And our remarkable stories sheet today. President Trump held a press conference at Mar-a-Lago yesterday, and it was slightly over an hour long, slightly more than an hour long. And the former president and future president Trump, he answered how many questions? I think it was 42 questions over the course of 63 minutes. He took 42 questions. He answered them all. Unlike Joe Biden and unlike Kamala Harris, he can stand there and he can take questions without a teleprompter, without prep, without members of his team standing there and flagging everything that happens. He can stand on his own 2 feet, as we used to say in the United States of America. It's a remarkable thing. So he held this press conference, went on for more than an hour, and we have some of it for you. We can't play the whole thing because it's more than an hour long, but we have portions of it, which we will share with you today. And all kinds of great headlines, too. You know, Trump's attack Harris, attacks Harris and Walls during first appearance since Democratic ticket was announced. CNN, that's a CNN headline. They don't mention that Kamala when they wrote that headline, had a press conference, and she still hasn't had a press conference. And she announced yesterday that she'll be arranging to do an interview sometime before the month ends. Now, if I'm not mistaken, it's the 9th of the month of August, and so that gives her, 20-some days before she has to announce that she's going to do an interview. And in the meantime, Soviet-style Black Sea silence, because when you're a Democrat, you know, you're a Democrat all the way from your first cigarette to your last dying day, and they don't have to answer questions. Don't you know who they are? Don't be ridiculous. How dare you suggest that she has to answer questions as J.D. Vance did? But they don't have to because they're Democrat. The press is running the campaign for her, as they ran the campaign for Joe Biden, as they indulged and engaged in a 3.5-year cover-up of Joe Biden's decline, his precipitous decline. And that was all fine because the news media's got their backs, you know. And I was talking to my friend Hung Cao, Naval Academy, Navy diver, Special Forces, all kinds of amazing careers, Iraq, all of that. And he's being attacked by the news media demanding all the specifics of his military record and the dates and the where's and the how many shots were fired. But of course they don't do that with Tim Walz, with his National Guard career, because were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. Remarkable things going on there. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Also, I didn't get to this yesterday, but turns out Democrat gubernator and vice presidential running mate to Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, signed legislation redefining the term sexual orientation because they had to protect people's sexual orientation by law because of all the discrimination that's taking place in their minds. And the Democrats put together this legislation and Tim Walz signed it. And the sexual orientation includes pedophiles. So they've got legal protections for child molesters in Minnesota, thanks to Democrats, because they love molesting children, I think, is the short version of that, right? I mean, they're a party of Jeffrey Epstein, aren't they, and the Bill Clinton's internship program, and Harvey Weinstein gets a standing ovation from the Democrats. They all knew about him. The list goes on and on. But in Minnesota, the governor and vice presidential running mate, Tim Walz, signed the legislation. And Republicans wanted to put in language in Minnesota saying, well, wait a minute, this doesn't protect child molesters. And the Democrats raised holy heck, and they pounded the table, and they were furious. And they said, no, the legislation that protects sexual orientation must include what they call MAPS, right? They call them MAPS, minor attracted persons. That's a child molester, a child rapist. And the Democrats, they want to protect child rapists. And, they have it as part of education in schools now, too, with books like Gender Queer, a visual guide to man-on-boy child molestation, which the Democrats support wholeheartedly, full-throatedly, if you will. Amazing stuff. So, yeah, he signed legislation. The running mate did, Tim Walz, redefining the term sexual orientation to include pedophiles, because the Democrats want to include and protect pedophiles, that is to say, child molesters. And that's your Democratic Party today. They're not what they used to be, not by a long shot. And also because Kamala chose Tim Walz, who says that socialism, one man's socialism, is another man's neighborliness at the point of a gun. The state will tell you what is neighborly, and you will bow to the state. And you will be neighborly. That means handing over all of your possessions at the, you know, point of a gun. Because only the state has guns, because Kamala has a mandatory, what'd she call it, Jeff? A mandatory buyback program. Buyback. Now, did I buy the gun from you in the first place? No, I didn't. So you can't buy it back. And if it's mandatory, what it is confiscation. But according to the fact checkers run by Democrat operatives, it's not gun confiscation. It's just mandatory. It's a mandatory government grabbing your gun thing, but it's not confiscation, because they use the words, but they don't know what they mean. And if they're talking, they're lying. They're the left. But the Democrat socialists, Bernie Sanders is, he honeymooned in the Soviet Union and when it was the USSR. And Tim Walz, he honeymooned in communist China because he loves communism, I guess. That must be the answer. The Democratic Socialists of America take credit for Kamala Harris picking Tim Walz as her running mate. Democratic Socialists. The Democrat Party and the news media is the most corrupt institution in America. Keep that in mind at all times. They are the opposite of truth tellers. They are truth killers. They murder truth in the cradle. They drown truth in the bassinet. They hold it underwater until it stops struggling. The truth is not their friend. The Democratic Socialists of America take credit for Kamala Harris picking Tim Walz as running mate. Tim Walz says socialism is nothing but neighborliness and the murder of 100 million people, the enslavement of billions of people, the brutalization of millions and millions of people, the Gulag archipelago, creating countries like Cuba, where the voluntary departure of one of their subjects is called an escape. If you have to escape from a country, if the government calls your departure an escape, that should tell you everything you need to know about socialism. And in Venezuela, where they're emptying the prisons and sending all their gang members to the United States, drag women down sidewalks in New York City and stuff, the Democrat Party is the Socialist Party now. And the Democratic Socialists take credit for Kamala Harris picking Tim Walz the running mate. He honeymooned in communist China. He lived a year in communist China, sent there naturally by Harvard, where he did not attend college, but has this strange relationship with Harvard anyway, and they sent him to communist China. He visited China about 30 times or more. They can't quite figure out exactly how many times, but he loves communist China. Remarkable stuff. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, and now the socialists are taking credit. Again, when you say socialism is neighborliness, I think you can fairly be described as a socialist when you honeymoon in communist China. His wedding day, they chose their wedding day very carefully. He and his wife. His wife loves the smell of napalm in the morning. She loved during the riots where Democrats were burning Minneapolis to the ground and other parts of Minnesota, too. She left her windows open at night, and she brags about this. She left her windows open at night of their, million-dollar house in Minnesota so she could smell the city burning. She said this. She loved the smell of the smoke. Reminds me of Colonel Kilgore in Apocalypse Now with I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Smells like victory, right? Remarkable things going on in the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party isn't. They're a socialist party. They're no longer a Democratic Party. They're no longer the Democratic Party. And now the socialists taking credit in the United States for Kamala Harris picking Walz. That's kind of a clue. That's what you might call a clue. If you're a producer at 60 Minutes at CBS News or something, you might want to pay attention to that. But they won't. They won't, I can assure you. The Israeli Defense Forces destroyed 60 different Hamas terror targets in the Gaza yesterday. I like to call it the Gaza. I think it's more fun. Not just Gaza. When you say the Gaza, it's more fun. And so in the Gaza, the Israelis dropped bombs on 60 Hamas terror targets because there are terrorists everywhere. They're because of radical Islam. Because of radical Islam. That's one of the things about radical Islam is they do a lot of that. Speaking of which, Taylor Swift, she's a songstress, and a lot of people enjoy her music. And she canceled, as you know, we talked about it yesterday. She canceled a number of shows in Europe because some local young men who converted to Islam and were inspired by ISIS and by Al-Qaeda, they were going to go murder as many people as they could at Taylor Swift concert or concerts. So they canceled all the Taylor Swift concerts because they didn't want Muslims to murder them wholesale. And it turns out one of the lead murderers who was inspired by ISIS and Islam, because it's the religion of peace, you know, and or pieces, depending on whether you're talking about before the explosion or after the explosion. But the this guy, he told his people at work that he wouldn't be seeing them again because he had something big going on, And one of the other teenage terrorists was hired to work security at one of the Taylor Swift concerts, kind of an inside job they were working on there. Isn't that amazing stuff? Yes, it is. So we've got that going between the bombs in the Gaza and the Taylor Swift concert. And let's not leave out Iran sending a Pakistani man to the United States to pull together a plot to assassinate Donald Trump because, you know, it's the religion of peace. Everywhere you look, just more peace is being spread. That and genocide and kidnappings and rapes and murders and torture and on an epic scale worldwide. In Europe, in the Middle East, in the United States, out of Pakistan, out of Iran. Pay no attention to any of that. Oh, and a video has surfaced of Tim Walz. He was on with his friends on MSDNC. And it was a while back now. And he said that free speech doesn't exist if the government, that's to say the Democrat Party, the left, the commies, the socialists, if the government decides that it's misinformation, then they can trample your free speech. Then they just declare everything they disagree with to be misinformation. Like, you know, Donald Trump and Russian collusion, like Hillary Clinton's dossier, like masks protecting you from COVID, like the vaccines keeping you from getting, you know, misinformation that they spread constantly. But they believe that socialism is neighborliness and free speech is subject to the approval of the government, and they'll tell you what's misinformation and what is not. Amazing stuff. So we've got that. And even Jake Tapper at CNN, a former Democrat Capitol Hill staffer, naturally, talking about the smear of J.D. Vance. And how about Tim Walz's military record? A lot to talk about there. I'm telling you, so much to say. We are at 888-630-9625. We got some Olympic stuff, too. A lot of people watching the Olympics this year. I'm not sure. You got a bit of this and a bit of that. 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE, 855-51-BIBLE.
Hi, I'm Cleveland Milan. People are always commenting on how happy and healthy my dogs are. One of the reasons is the food my dogs eat.
Introducing Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend, a premium freeze-dried raw dog food.
I have been feeding them Dr. Marty's freeze-dried raw formula for years. And this food is a big part of why their joints are more flexible, their teeth are cleaner, and their coat shinier, and why they seem more youthful and playful.
And dog parents across the U.S. are loving it.
My dog Hazel is a 10 and a half year old golden retriever. And ever since I've been feeding her
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend food. She is like a puppy again. It's unbelievable.
We're so confident your dog will love it. Your order is backed with a 90-day guarantee. And for a limited time, save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cod Krispies. They're wild caught, ultra crunchy cod skin treats. Go to drmartypets.com/America or text America to 511-511. Text America to 511-511 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Dr. Marty Pets.
President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. Mike Huckabee says he's tuning in like millions of Americans. Newsmax is now the fastest growing cable news channel in America. Watch Newsmax on cable, streaming, or on the free Newsmax app. And Newsmax has announced it plans to go IPO soon. For a limited time, eligible investors can even buy preferred shares in Newsmax, and they come with a 7% dividend. Get the details about Newsmax's planned IPO and shares. Just go to NewsmaxInvest.com. Forbes says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. Get Newsmax shares. You can even buy shares with a credit card at NewsmaxInvest.com. Whenever making an investment decision, you should consult your attorney or financial advisor. And investors are responsible for conducting their own due diligence regarding investments and for all tax and other risks and obligations. Don't miss out. Find out more at NewsmaxInvest.com today.
The YMCA is just a starting line for the true self blooms only when we find our purpose, what makes us tick below the surface. My why is diversity in unity, a safe space in my community, living with sincerity, giving every day my everything. With my why, I stand strong, seen and supported all along. It's a million faces in a mirror and everyone belongs. Find your why. Learn more at YMCA.org for a better us.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLu is here for you. With DebtLu's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLu are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Fellow Americans, former CIA officer Jason Hansen here to invite you to a special financial briefing this Thursday. As a former CIA officer, I've used my expertise to protect myself, my country, and my family from threats for decades. Now I'm recommending all Americans take action to guard their personal and financial security from threats to the U.S. dollar. That's what Thursday's exclusive Financial Security Summit will focus on. You'll get top strategies for safeguarding your wealth no matter what challenges may come our way. During the summit, you'll discover how to create a bulletproof financial plan that can potentially withstand the death of the dollar and possibly even thrive in the face of an economic collapse. Call my friends at Advantage Gold today at 800-741-GOLD to register at no cost whatsoever. In today's uncertain times, it's critical to have a solid plan in place to protect your finances. Call 800-741-GOLD now to register for this 100% free event. Again, 800-741-GOLD.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
All right, Jeff, let's take a phone call. When do you hear this? Tim Walz hosting a Muslim cleric that celebrated October 7th and shared pro-Hitler website. I've got that coming up for you, too. They love Hitler, don't they? They love talking about Hitler. They love spreading the word. Let's take a phone call, Jeff. Let's go to Philip, formerly of Arlington. Philip, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. I was assigned to the joint staff in the Pentagon working on the Afghanistan desk, and an Army colonel assigned to the Iraq desk was asking me questions about threat areas in Afghanistan, which cities and towns. And finally, I said, well, sir, why do you want to know this? He said, well, my daughter's a public affairs officer deployed there. And a few weeks later, I came back in the office, and everybody's in a very somber mood. I said, what's going on? He said, Colonel Walker's daughter was killed yesterday in Afghanistan. So her name was First Lieutenant Laura Margaret Walker, and I'd like to say to Brianna Keeler and all the other scumbags out there that are belittling the service of public affairs and combat camera, screw you, because you don't know what you're talking about. She gave her life for our country.
And she was, have this right, a Naval Academy grad, right?
And West Point. Well, she was the first West Point female officer killed in Afghanistan. You're thinking about the Marine Corps major.
Right.
Naval Academy.
You're correct.
So
you're
this
correct.
Is a West Point graduate.
And you worked in the joint staff in the Pentagon with Colonel Walker, and it was Colonel Walker's daughter that was killed. And this is in relation to the fact that the news media and CNN attacking J.D. Vance, mockingly referring to him as a public affairs officer who actually served in Iraq as a Marine Corps enlisted man. And unlike Governor Walz, who abandoned his unit when they were deploying to Iraq. Right, Philip?
That's exactly right, Chris. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, there were no clear-cut front lines. You were subject to assault anywhere, whether it was a suicide bomber or a mortar.
And Brianna Keister, I will share that with you today as well. Philip, thank you. God bless you.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Shasta County Republican Assembly announces its first fundraising dinner and auction, Saturday, August 17th. The mission of the Shasta County Republican Assembly is to support and advance local conservative Republican candidates and issues. Catered by Smoke and Joe's, great live auction prizes and raffles. For ticket information, you can call 530-356-4936 or stop by Jones's Fort. The Shasta County Republican Assembly fundraiser and dinner, Saturday, August 17th. Doors open at 4, dinner at 6.
Sponsored by
I've tasted barbecue from here to the other side of the Mississippi, son. And Smokin' Joe's in Redding, it's the best. St. Louis pork ribs, tri-tip, tender pulled pork, sweet and tangy barbecue chicken, and so much more. Kindly step on in or use their convenient drive-thru.
Hey, this is Joe from Smokin' Joe's Barbecue. If you want to try the best barbecue in the North State, try Smokin' Joe's on Airport Road next to Dutch Rose.
Check out Smokin' Joe's Barbecue, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday.
We want to invite you to the second annual Justice Crab Feed.
This event will be held at the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, September 28th, and the money raised at the event will go towards combating human trafficking.
Last year, this event sold out. It was great to see Reading come out in full force for this cause.
The meals include crab and tri-tip. There will also be a pool bar available.
If you would like information or to buy tickets, email us at justicecrabfeed@gmail.com.
See you there!
The Reading Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, the craft of fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. It was bound to happen. We received several calls from vehicle owners that have had their cars repaired at the big box body shops. They were not satisfied with the repairs. They were told by their insurance company they had no choice to who was to repair their vehicle. This is not true. Big box body shops have such a large influence in the industry, unsatisfied customers have little or no effect on the customer base. Coachmaster has been repairing vehicles in Reading since 1969. Reading is a small town. You don't exist for 55 years with unsatisfied customers. Any and every customer's repair concern is taken personally. At Coachmaster, we do whatever it takes to retain the respect and trust of our customers. We do what's right. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Redding, take an inflation vacation with Black Bear Diner's 7 new weekday dinner deals, starting at just $9.99. Tasty fish tacos, creamy fettuccine carbonara, steak and fries, a crispy chicken dinner, beef stroganoff, and more. Serve Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. Escape inflation's grip on your wallet and set the table tonight with good old-fashioned family food at your friendly Black Bear Diner in Redding on Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Now, since Philip just called in, and our brilliant callers, our All-American callers, our All-American listeners, serving on the joint staff in the Pentagon, and the colonel's daughter killed in combat, West Point grad, another young woman from the Naval Academy, also referenced, who was killed in combat. Working as public affairs specialists, where in combat zones, you may actually take the CNN reporter and camera crew out into the combat zone, and the reporters will tell you that they're in great danger, but now they're smearing and slandering people with the military occupation, the MOS, the specialty, of being a public affairs officer in a combat zone. Thank you very much. Unlike Tim Walz, who left his unit before they deployed to Iraq, they went into the combat zone, and Tim Walz did not. On the other hand, a U.S. Marine who joined when he was 17 years old, not because he was building his political future, but because it's what he chose to do after graduating from high school, J.D. Vance, did go into the combat zone. And now on CNN, their anchor girl, their anchor pony, Breonna Keeler was taking shots at diminishing, slandering, smearing the Republican vice presidential running mate of President Trump for purely and entirely political reasons. Breonna Keeler should be canceled, and CNN should never be viewed again by anyone because they're just a propaganda outlet. Here's let me share with you a little bit because J.D. Vance has responded already, and there are other people responding out there in the real world. And Breonna Keeler, you know, where she sits, this is just another thing to smear for political purposes. The Hill typing, J.D. Vance hits CNN anchor for, quote, imperfect messenger, end quote, quip on military records. It was a quip. It was a... That's what the Hill calls it. It was a smear. It was a slander. It's what the news media does, because the news media is not a legitimate news media in the United States. It's a propaganda arm of the Socialist Party, which is the Democrat Party, and I'm going to get into that a little further as we go forward today as well. Since the Democratic Socialists have come out, a Socialist Party have come out in the United States, and they're taking credit for Kamala Harris picking Tim Walz, meaning they're very proud and happy that the guy who says socialism is equal to neighborliness nothing could be more absurd. You know, it's like the Manson family is the model American family, and socialism is neighborliness. So Senator J.D. Vance criticized, the Hill writes, CNN's Breonna Keeler, a.k.a. Breonna Keister, on Thursday for saying he was an imperfect messenger, an imperfect messenger, whereas apparently Tim Walz is the perfect messenger for, I guess, socialism and for rioters and for pedophiles, which is how he would be characterized if only there were an R after his name. Now, the story continues that Keeler on CNN's Inside Politics, and that's where they reside, that's for sure. Every show on CNN should be called Inside Politics. Discussed the ongoing debate. There's an ongoing debate now about Walz's military record. The Minnesota National Guard came out yesterday and officially on the record said that Walz has illegitimately described himself as a command sergeant major for years. He did not retire at that rank. He's not entitled to claim that rank. He was demoted as he left. He did not complete the requisite work to be a command sergeant major, which is a very big deal, being a command sergeant major in the enlisted ranks. But never mind that. So on CNN's Inside Politics, said that he's an imperfect messenger, whereas Breonna is the perfect messenger for the Democrat Party. Since, honestly, the media is everything to the Democrat Party. Without the media, the Democrat Party ceases to exist, certainly as a legitimate political party in the United States. Now, let's go to what Breonna actually said on CNN. And, you know, because there's discussion of stolen valor. He also, I played the audio yesterday, Tim Walz, said that he carried a rifle into combat, which he never did, and that's a lie, and that's their accusations of stolen valor being directed at the Democrat Party's vice presidential candidate, who does not carry the rank of command sergeant major into his retirement years. Just not true. Look, I mean, he served in the National Guard, and as he said, sometimes full time. But he did not deploy to Iraq. He did not go into a combat zone. He went to Italy. I love Italy. Isn't Italy great? Where he served in a remote capacity, providing support to the operations in Afghanistan, but he never set foot in Afghanistan. Italy is not considered to be hardship duty, you know. And if you like ravioli, and wonderful people, then Italy is not hardship duty. So here's Breonna Keister yesterday on CNN, smearing, slandering, and doing the Democrat Party's work as usual.
At what point did military service become a liability? You know, that's one of the things that's sort of on my mind as I look at this. I also think that J.D. Vance, as a messenger on this, maybe an imperfect messenger, because we have, as you introduced him, as a combat correspondent, which was what his title was. But when you dig a little deeper into that, he was a public affairs specialist, someone who did not see combat, which certainly the title combat correspondent kind of gives you a different impression.
You know, combat correspondent sounds like war correspondent, where journalists and CNN reporters go into Iraq and they declare themselves to be war correspondents, and they're generally escorted to the front lines, if they get that far, by public affairs specialists who are combat correspondents in this case. And the question, of course, was about Governor Walz, but you see how they've turned it around at the people at CNN. Isn't that amazing? They just spin that around because that's what they do. They're a front group for the Democrat Party, and she's a sock puppet for the Democrat Party, Breonna Keister. And if she wants to go around picking fights, she should probably know a little more about the people with whom she's picking a fight. Vance fires back at, quote, disgusting CNN anchor, suggesting his military service was embellished amid Walz dispute. Now, he never embellished J.D. Vance, his military career, his time in the Marine Corps. And Walz has, and that is what the discussion is if you're a rational person and not a lion sack of Jawea, And I've got to say the Lion Sacagawea Award of the Day goes to Breonna Keister at CNN. So the GOP hopeful has repeatedly attacked the Minnesota governor over the growing military controversy. But at CNN, that's an attack on J.D. Vance. It turns into an attack on J.D. Vance. Senator J.D. Vance, Ohio Republican, fired back at CNN after an anchor suggested he embellished his own military service as the Republican vice presidential nominee hammered. I gotta tell you, the Democrat Party and the media, but we know who they are, just amazing stuff that we're dealing with here, because the media is the most corrupt institution in America. And the love affair, the sexual love affair they have with the Democrat Party is beyond appalling. It honestly is. And now J.D. Vance has to be, now he's on the defensive, not Walz, right? Because the crooked news media is doing their job, and that is attacking the Republican and giving the Democrat a free pass. There is no controversy about J.D. Vance's service in the Marine Corps, his deployment to Iraq, but they're weasels that they are trying to wheedle their way into any daylight, any crack between this and that. And how dare a journalist indict a Marine Corps enlisted man who is bringing reporters into the war zone? And the reporters, again, will lay claim to having been in the war zone, and she seems to be suggesting that he, J.D. Vance, is not in the war zone. Again, he joined when he was 17 years old, I believe that's correct, 17 years old. And now the headlines are Vance knocks CNN's Keeler over military record criticism. Well, why is she criticizing his military record? Is there any controversy about his military record? Vance fires back at disgusting CNN anchor suggesting his military service is not what he said. And it is all, it is amazing. Newsweek magazine, J.D. Vance's military records come under scrutiny. What? After Tim Walz's attack. Well, it's not an attack. It's pointing out the reality. And again, yesterday I shared with you the Minnesota National Guard making it clear on the record and in public that J.D. Vance is not embellishing his record, but that Tim Walz has embellished his record, first of all, with the claim that he's retired as a command sergeant major, which he did not. He also, I played the audio yesterday for you, where he talked about carrying his rifle into combat while he's talking about banning rifles, right? And you know, this they are socialists, and I've been saying this for years. They're not liberals. They're the left. They're not liberals. They are the left. Now, where's Breonna Keister, Lion Sacagawea Award, when it comes to this story, for example? And there are many like them. This one in the Washington Examiner, by Gabe Kaminsky. Tim Walz, Kamala's running mate, repeatedly hosted Muslim cleric who celebrated October 7th and shared pro-Hitler website link. But that's okay, because Democrats hate the Jews. You know, the Catholics hate the Protestants, and the Protestants hate the Catholics, and everybody hates the Jews, at least in the Democrat Party. And that's why they couldn't pick the Jewish governor of Pennsylvania, because they knew that too many Democrat voters would oppose him for being Jewish. Sieg Heil, meine Schanze, Deutschland, Deutschland, Democrat Party. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz, on at least five occasions as governor of Minnesota, hosted a Muslim cleric who celebrated Hamas's October 7th attack last year on Israel and promoted a film popular among neo-Nazis that glorifies Adolf Hitler and his Socialist Workers Party. The Washington Examiner found the imam, Asad Zaman, of the Muslim American Society of Minnesota, and there are a lot of radical Islamists in Minnesota. They elect radical Islamists to Congress, the Democrats do, who hate the Jews more than just about anybody. Remarkable stuff. Joined other Muslim leaders in May of 2023 for a meeting about mosque security with Walz's gubernatorial office in Minnesota. Zaman, who also spoke at a May 2020 event to call for peaceful protest with the governor during the riots in Minnesota. And while the governor, Democrat governor, was not calling out the National Guard, even though Democrat mayors were pleading with him to do so day after day, finally, after 3 days, the Minnesota National Guard was come out, was called out. But in the meantime, his wife was at home with the windows open, she bragged, enjoying the smell of the burning city because she loved the smell of napalm in the morning. She's pretty amazing stuff. Colonel Kilgore as the First Lady of Minnesota. So he also spoke at a May 2020 event, and George Floyd, St. George Floyd, who had died of heart failure while resisting arrest yet again. In April of 2019, the cleric delivered an invocation before Walz's state address just months after Zaman called for an end to a government shutdown at a press conference with Walz in January of 2019. Zaman, moreover, attended a 2019 event that Walz hosted for Ramadan, social media post show. Walz's ties to Zaman could serve as a problematic baggage for the Minnesota governor, but not with the news media. They'll smooth it over. They're pro-jihad. They hate the Jews. Even their Jews hate the Jews. It's kind of an amazing thing to see. So could serve as problematic baggage for the Minnesota governor's campaign with Vice President Kamala Harris, the Democratic presidential nominee. News of the ties also comes after the Washington Free Beacon report this week found that Walz spoke at a 2019 event with an anti-Semitic scholar who has defended terrorism against Israel. But when you're a Democrat, they just hate the Jews, and they got a lot of Muslim voters in Minnesota. So you got to kowtow to the genocide branch of the anti-Semitic genocide branch of the Democrat Party, right? Zaman, who is from Bangladesh. I like to say Bangladesh. Don't you prefer Bangladesh? I like Bangladesh. It sounds more like bongo drums. Said that on October 7th of last year that he stands in solidarity with Palestinians against Israeli attacks. Now, they had just massacred 1,200 Israelis, stolen people as hostages, raped, murdered, tortured to death. And here's what Tim Walz's buddy said, that he stands on that day, stands in solidarity with Palestinians against Israeli attacks. Israeli attacks. Now, you know, now, 60 bombs dropped on terrorists in Gaza yesterday. Those are Israeli attacks because the savages, the genocidal savages, are still attacking Israel. That day, which saw 1,200 Israelis murdered by Hamas terrorists, he also shared an image of a Palestinian flag on Facebook. He's from Bangladesh, mind you. In response to a post by Yusuf Abdi Abdulle, director of the Islamic Association of North America, declaring Palestine has the right to defend itself. Yeah, that wasn't defending itself. You know, unless all-out war is self-defense, genocidal war is self-defense. So we've got that. And then, hey, how about this Hitler movie? Maybe you'd like this Adolf Hitler movie. Because, you know, these are friends of the Democrat Party, friends of Tim Walz. And Breonna Keister doesn't have anything to say about any of this, because death to the Jews.
We can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons were.
There's only one Chris Plant, the Chris Plant Show.
Stop what you're doing and listen to this. Your God-given freedoms are up for the taking. And those doing the taking are the same people who've sworn to defend your freedom. They think they can control the media, hide the truth, and force their delusions onto your family. You know what they can't take away? Self-reliance. Peace of mind. Got water filtration? You should. A charged solar generator? You better. Emergency food on your shelf? Get it now from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the most trusted name in survival, and for damn good reason, too.
Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and save $200 on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. It delivers over 2,000 calories per day, plus sealed inside, practically unpierceable packaging. It lasts up to 25 years. Oh, and did I mention it's delicious? Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save $200 per kit. Includes fast and free shipping. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Get in on the summer's biggest moments with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code ROME for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Attention all patriots, this is Jason Hansen, former CIA officer and security expert. I have an urgent message for anyone who's concerned about their financial future. In a world filled with economic uncertainty and geopolitical turmoil, it's never been more important to have a rock-solid plan for protecting your wealth. That's why I'm inviting you to a special financial briefing this Thursday. During this exclusive summit, you'll get proven top strategies for safeguarding your hard-earned assets and securing your financial independence. We'll cover everything from diversifying your portfolio to creating a fail-safe emergency fund. Don't leave your future to chance. Call my friends at Advantage Gold today at 800-741-GOLD to register at no cost whatsoever. In today's uncertain times, it's critical to have a solid plan in place to protect your finances and secure your future. Call 800-741-GOLD now to register for this 100% free summit. That's 800-741-G-O-L-D.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLou is here for you. With DebtLou's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLou are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to health care, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Military service become a liability?
Brianna Keister, military service is not a liability. Lying politicians, that's supposed to be a liability when you you're a politician and you're asking to become a heartbeat away from the presidency of the United States, and you lie about Command Sergeant Major. You lie about going and played the audio again for you a few minutes ago, J.D., Walls, saying, hey, I carried my rifle into combat, which he didn't do. Let's grab William calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. William, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Listen, I wish people listened to this. It doesn't matter if J.D. Vance was pouring gravy on potatoes in the chow line. The fact is he went to U.S. Marine Corps boot camp. That says it all.
And he went to Iraq.
Yes, but no one brings that up. So Marine boot camp is like nothing else in the military. That says it all. Like, again, even if it was serving gravy and potatoes, he's still a U.S. Marine. Period. Period.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Did you serve in the Marine Corps yourself?
No, I was Navy, but it was almost as bad. Okay, have a good one.
Thank you, William. Yeah, that's right. You go Paris Island, and then you go to Iraq. And he's a Marine. There are rifles and weapons everywhere and bad guys around you everywhere, and the front line is not a clearly defined front line, as Philip said. And, you know, the front line for Tim Walz was in Minnesota, and the front line was overrun by Black Lives Matter.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.